It's a pretty harmless addiction, so I think you're okay. We won't bust you up about it.
And obviously, exactly. Champions are drinking coffee, man.
Exactly.
All right, so Jake.
Chuck Liddell had to have it back when I met him. And he used the straw and all. I used to make fun of the straw. I saw Chuck doing it. I was like, sweet, I can keep doing it.
Do you think they'll let you walk to the cage with your coffee? I mean, would you take your Phil's coffee with your green straw out to the cage?
I would do it. Unfortunately, I don't think the commission will allow it. I have to... you go backstage, so for me that's kind of tough. I drink my caffeine right before I train, but I have to get a little early before I fight.
Yeah, all right. Well, so speaking of fighting, speaking of the cage, you're coming up this Saturday on your UFC debut against Martin Kamen. Long time coming for you to move over to the UFC, right, Jake?
Yeah, you know, I've been...
It's great, man. Things are good. Just chilling out here at the headquarters, Scrap Pack at headquarters, hanging out with you, and just excited to talk about.
Like, you know, I've been fighting for, you know, like pretty much 11 years now, so it's been a long time coming, you know. Fought a lot of tough fighters that I've written in the UFC, so it's nice to finally make the jump to the big show, you know. Even though I've been fighting a lot of the same people, you just get more recognition for it in the UFC, so still feeling
right.
Good.
So give us your thoughts on Kamen. I mean, he's your first fight in the UFC. He's a guy that, you know...
Fights and let some of you listeners in.
Yeah, man, I think we're going to have a good time here. Like we said, we're coming to you live from the gym. So you may hear some people roaming around in the background. You may hear some people hitting mitts. And towards the end of the show, the team will be showing up for training. So pretty interesting format. I mean, coming to you live from the gym. I don't know if anybody else is doing that. But before we get started, let's go ahead. We got to give a couple shout-outs and a couple thank yous. Previous to you, they were talking about him. You know, he's up there. He's been in title contention talks. What are your thoughts on fighting Kamen right out of the gate?
You know, I think he's a well-rounded, tough fighter, but he's someone that I'm planning to go out there and beat up. You don't want to go out there and run right through him and get that title shot. But that doesn't mean I'm looking past him. You know, I think he's a tough guy, and I've trained really hard for this. And
to the people that have helped us make this happen, first and foremost, my fiance Rachel, and you may know her as MMA Hot Stuff, the one that came up with this idea, hooked us up with our friends at Heavy.com. So also a big shout-out to our friends over there at Heavy.com, specifically Jeremy Potter at Heavy.com. If you haven't been to Heavy.com, go check it out.
Now I'm in the gym training every day. I don't take them lightly. So it's a tough fight, but someone I plan on beating.
Yeah, so speaking of training every day, Gilbert was telling me last night, I guess you hit him pretty hard the other day, dude. I think you gave him a bloody nose.
Yeah,
I hear a chuckle.
He cheap shots me. So
all the latest MMA news, and of course, listen to Scrap Pack Radio. Also, this episode will be podcast, so you can go download it from Heavy.com after the episode. And quick shout out. We hope our boy Jeremy Botter's feeling better. I think he's down with the flu. Thank you.
Hey man, you know, I want to thank all those same people too. Thanks Rachel, thanks Heavy.com, and thanks Jeremy. And I want to
start punching him really hard. And then he's just like, oh, you hit me too hard. After he busted me, there, wearing the small gloves, he busted in my nose. I'm sitting there bleeding, and goes back like, I'm an asshole for giving him a bloody nose.
This is a common debate Jake and I have. Who hit who hard first? And I always feel like it's Jake. Jake always feels like it's me. I don't think people understand how special thanks to you, bro. You know, ferocious Bill Baldacci. I mean, Baldacci.
Whatever. I mean, we've only been training together for 5 years. I don't know why you'd know my name.
Man, for all of you guys who don't know Phil, man, he's my training partner. He's a great friend. Definitely a Scrap Pack member. I mean, this guy helps me analyze tape. You know, he helps coach me. He's intense. It gets in our training room. You know what I mean? I mean,
we can see who throws the first hard shot.
Yeah, well, they always say, right, only hit somebody as hard as you want to be hit back, but it's kind of like the chicken
exactly.
Or the egg, which comes first.
I think that's the problem. Yeah, that's kind of always the rule of the gym. Hit someone as hard as you want to get hit, and then somehow me and go, it's escalate.
He cornered me. He's a sparring partner. And, you know, he fights for the scrap pack. I mean, he's a really great guy, dude. And I think you listeners will really enjoy his insight in MMA. And, I mean, you know, you're a California wrestler, Phil. Let these guys know a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, you know, grew up in California like you. I'm a Northern California boy, though, not one of those Southern Cowboys. So we got the little Northern Cal stuff. So did you guys hug
what,
and make
one of us over here hit two hours?
Hell no, I'm still pissed off this guy. Hey, man.
David's first buddy knows.
Jake, I kind of wanted, like, to let the fans in a little bit more. I mean, can you tell them how intense it is, our training? Like, I mean, and let them know how we do it out here. I mean, like, you know, we're no joke. You know what I mean? Just kind of tell them about
some
of our
Cal-Russian rivalry going on here. But, yeah, man, I grew up here in the Northern California area, wrestled my whole life, and ended up wrestling up in Oregon State University, D1 Pac-10. And, you know, that's kind of – how I kind of started, I would say, my base into the sport, man.
Awesome, bro. And sparring sessions.
Yeah, you know, it seems normal to us, but whenever new fighters come out, like, you know, pros from all kinds of big gyms will, like, come out and be like, you guys are crazy. Never realized that, but I guess our training, you know, we train a little harder than most people. We go at it pretty good, you know. We're all good friends, but when we spar, we beat the crap out of each other. I've had quite a few pros come in and just be like, you guys are crazy.
You have the one and only Randy Couture, the Natural, as your head coach. Is that true?
That is a fact. That is a fact. When I was up there at Oregon State, Randy was our wrestling coach. And I'm old, man. I was up there in 94 through 98, and right around 97 was when he first started in the UFC and had his first couple bouts. He didn't tell it.
Exactly, man. And I think you lead by example, bro. Like, I mean, you've installed that in my head, like, I don't know any other way to train, and you kind of you know, put that out there. I don't know if everyone's seen, but Jake was on the cover of Fight magazine, and this is one of the quotes I read right here. It said, "If I quit between a round, how am I going to come back and face my team? It's just not something I
told us about him. We didn't know about him. Those ones in, I think it was Louisiana was his first bouts, and then we knew about his fight with Vitor Belfort, and we all went over to his apartment, watched that thing on pay-per-view, and everybody was going nuts.
That's funny, man. That was legendary for us. I watched that with my son on a high school wrestling team. We're all there front row to see the wrestler take out the dude. I mean, that's something you kind of taught us, man. Like, we do not have the balls to quit. You know what I mean? And
It's just kind of the way the team is, you know, all of us with, you know, Nick and Nate as well, of course. It's just kind of the mentality. It's just kind of how, you know, kind of how it was when we came up. We were always really hard, battling each other, and it was always the mentality of our gym is you just don't quit.
The prodigy, you know, or what was he called? Vitor, was he?
I think he was the prodigy, man. I mean, everybody was saying he was gonna eat Randy for lunch, man. That's why, I mean, we were going nuts. Everybody, you know, we didn't really know what to think of this MMA thing at the time. We weren't really aware of it. We just knew our coach was getting in the cage to fight some 19-year-old big rough Brazilian dude. And we were like, man, I
can't come out there and do that. I think it's just, you know, I think we were all naturally tough people, and we all made each other a lot tougher, too, by having that mindset.
Heck yeah, bro. And speaking of some stuff, did you see the Dan Hardy and Carlos Condit fight?
Yeah, that was a pretty good fight. They were going at it. That was nice. People threw it hooked at once, and Hardy went down.
No, Randy's, you know, at the time we thought he was old. He was in his early 30s, man. But he went out there and took care of business, dude, and you know, represented the wrestling crew.
So what brought you to MMA, man? What brought you to us?
Man, well, let's see. After I got done wrestling in college, man, I did what everybody does and got myself a job in the workforce. And now you have some experience with Condit, right, Jake?
Yeah, yeah. I fought him back. I'm not sure when that was. The Rumble of the Rock. It was maybe 4 years ago or something. Beat him and after Okami. It was a tough night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he kind of forgets that you fought Okami for 15 minutes before you fought him because he kind of called you out. And you know, he had a 2-minute battle with Frank.
After about 8 years of that, started getting fat, tired, lazy, started missing wrestling, you know, and was having a hard time finding a place to train. And I was watching Ultimate Fighter Season 3 with MMA Hot Stuff, and they were running an ad for Fairtex in San Francisco. And I remember thinking to myself, watching that episode, I was like, man, Matt Hamill doesn't know what he's doing. He's a good wrestler. But I was like,
And then he fought you for 15 minutes, and we just heard him call you out, man. And we're just thinking, man, that might be a little bit quick to be calling out Jake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Yeah, you know, I think, yeah, I don't think he's disrespectful. I think he's just trying, you know, everyone wants me now. They hear that I'm probably next line for a title shot if I win, so everyone's just trying to squeeze the way in there and get that title shot. You know, I can't blame him, but, yeah, I think, you know, I don't think it'll go too well if he fought me.
I can do this shit, man. Like, I wasn't thinking I was going to be a fighter or anything, but I just wanted to try and get back into shape. So I went down to Fairtex in San Francisco to check it out and joined the gym down there. And I think my first jiu-jitsu class you were teaching. And so that was my, you know, I started training my jiu-jitsu there under you and Jake. Next thing you know, we were doing some takedowns. And
except, you know, dominated the first time, and that was after a 15-minute war with a commie. I think things would go a lot different this time. But, you know, hey, he's a good fighter, just trying to get his way in there and weasel away a title shot. Who can blame him, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I think Gil and I may have different opinions on that than you. But hey, so Jake, it's your first fight back, you know, helping you train a little bit, and then you opened up El Nino Training Center a couple years later and followed you over here, became part of your scrap pack team, and went from there, man. I never really intended on fighting, but I think after spending my time getting beat up by you and Jake, I figured, what the hell, man, I might as well give it a shot.
Yeah, that's what we call the itch, you know, all the wrestlers out there.
Back at 170 pounds after being at 185 for a little while, coming off your win against Hendo, obviously. What's the training been like, and what are your feelings on going back down to 170? It seems like it's probably more of your natural weight, but you certainly packed on some weight to fight up at 185. So what's it been like to get your body back down to 170?
You know what it's like. I know all of you guys are thinking about getting back on the mats. You know, I know a lot of my old friends in wrestling, you know, they do it, and then they want to come back and do it. And it's a hard thing to do. MMA is really hard, so if you can do it, you know, you got to respect that.
That's right, man. I mean, it's a tough thing to do. But, you know, we got a lot of boys here that are part of the scrap pack that put in the time and the effort. So let's let everybody know, Gil. I mean, talk.
So it hasn't been too bad. You know, I feel great this way. It's more of my natural weight. I feel faster, quicker, better shape. Well, the thing is, I am a little hungry now that it's the last of the dieting week, but makes me mean, I guess. But, yeah, I've been dieting pretty hard the last, like, week or two, but my weight's pretty much down, you know, 185 now, and I'm ready to go in there and fight and get this thing over with. Ready to weigh in.
I made a comment about the scrap pack. Tell everybody why you created this fight team, man, because when I first started, you know, we were under Jake's fight team, and you were fighting internationally. You didn't have your own fight team, and you opened up the gym, and you started the scrap pack. Well, let everybody know what that's about.
Well, I mean, basically the scrap pack is a Caesar Gracie affiliate. You know, if you're down with the Caesar Gracie fight team, you're down with the scrap pack. I mean, I want to comment on that a little bit. I think Jake at 170s is faster, more relentless, and still strong as hell. So, I mean, I think he's definitely the number two 170 pound in the world and coming for the number one spot right there.
I don't know. I mean, it's like which is the lesser of two evils, right? You've got the quicker, faster Jake, or you've got the bigger, stronger.
The Caesar Gracie fight team for years now. Jake Shields, Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz, Dave Terrell, et cetera. Plenty of really tough guys out there. And, you know, Caesar Gracie, he's been Pleasant Hill Concord and holding it down out there. And Dave Terrell has the NorCal Fighting Alliance in Santa Rosa. Nick and Nate Diaz have Gracie Fighter Lodi and, you know, Team 209.
Jake, that's on top of you that you can't get off you. Right, I mean, I got to tell you, like, I don't feel bad for Cam and Gil. Gil and I were talking about this the other day. Like, Gil went through 6-8 weeks of your training camp. Cameron's only got to deal with 15 minutes max.
Yeah. Don't feel bad, Cam. It's only 15 minutes.
Yeah. Guy's got nothing to complain about.
Hopefully.
And right here in San Francisco, man, we have the scrap pack, you know. You know, we're just trying to brand ourselves out here. We're part of the Caesar Gracie fight team just trying to brand ourselves. But, the scrap pack themselves, man, they're a really good group of guys. I mean, they are my second family. You know, we bleed together. You know, we train super hard together. We spar each other. We laugh together. We hang out together. I mean, we're just a real
15 minutes, but
yeah, we'll be going into our predictions a little bit later, so the fans will be able to hear what Gil and I both think about how this fight's going to go. But I agree with you. So.
Well, let's touch on something else, man. I mean, Jake Shields ranked number two in the world, but ranked number one in the world in San Francisco for ladies, man, team. You know, and I think that's rare to find in MMA. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's rare to find in MMA. I mean, there's guys that check their egos at the door. You know, they show up for each other for practice year round. I mean, if you're getting ready for a fight, you always have someone to help you. So, I mean, you know, these guys will go to war with me. I mean, they'll back me up over anything. And you know, they're a really good group of guys. So, Jake, man, you're known to be loved by all the ladies out here. I mean, how do you do it, man?
It's a bunch of false rumors, I think.
People always try to call me out on that nowadays.
I don't know. All false. No proof, right?
Okay, so true.
Then, you know, and I think you guys will get to know them and really like them.
I agree, man. I mean, you know, being around this team, being around these crazy guys, Jake and Nick and Nate, I mean, I know, and I think everybody can tell that you guys are a close-knit team, that we're all a close-knit team. But, you know, let's let everybody know. I mean, you know, there's probably some people out there that think we're a bunch of thugs, man. I mean, I was in Nashville. I questioned Jake. Did you rush a sorority?
Not 100% true. I kind of just got, you know, dragged in.
Oh, so somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle.
It's a great, you know, most sayings you hear, it's like, you know, two sides to every story. It's usually somewhere in the middle. So it's like half true.
Oh, those half truths, right? There's a lot of those half truths there for the infamous incident in the cage. You know, but I think a lot of people saw that, man, and might have had a bad impression. And you know, let people know what you think about that. I mean, we're not just a bunch of thugs, are we, Gil?
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, dude, we don't jump people on a daily basis, and we're not trying to start problems and look for fights, but, you know, we hold a certain
out there. All right, Jake.
Exactly. I don't mean to be bad. I'm sorry, you know, having a little fun, just looking for the right girl, and just so far I haven't found her.
All right,
reason, I guess, just comes easily to me.
just okay. Well, we'll leave that topic alone for next time. But Jake, we'll let you go. You probably want to get another nap.
A amount of respect for ourselves and each other, and you know, we're not one to let our friend or homie get disrespected. And you know, if I saw you feel in trouble, and I saw a guy, you know, giving you problems, I'm not gonna ask any questions. I understand that. I decided to go back to whatever's going on. And that's part of the thing out here. We're a real team. We know what loyalty and respect is all about. So, you know,
and right before the rest of your day starts, or do you need
I'm
to make your way over
to
Phil's
coffee?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm ready to get my Phil's. I'll go give them another plug. Keep getting free coffee.
Where is Phil's coffee? Why don't you let people that are San Francisco locals know where Phil's coffee is, Jake?
Well, there's a few of them, but the one I'm going to is over on 4th and 4th and Berry. There's like 5 or 6 of them, so. Yeah, the San Francisco.
I'm really proud to be part of the Scrap Pack, and I feel really privileged to be part of them, and the whole Crazy Fight team, and anyone out there part of it.
I agree, man. I mean, you know, my experience here has been the same thing, man. We're a group of brothers, and it's not something I really anticipated when I first started training, but, you know, I think when you go through the things that we go through together, when you punch each other in the face.
People listening to like coffee should definitely try it. I'm just not saying that because they sponsor me. They make some damn good coffee.
All right. Well, I know you've been drinking that stuff for a long time.
I know
time.
My coffee, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys at the gym tonight.
Obviously.
Training,
all right.
Yeah, definitely. Right on, Jake, man. Thanks so much, bro. You've been a freaking leader for us all. We'll be there, bro.
On a daily basis. And push ourselves like we do, man. You really create a bond with people. And, you know, I agree, man. Everybody checks their attitudes at the door, and I think we're all here to help each other out. I mean, I know I come in here, man, to help you train and be the best you can be and have the best shot at winning your fights. And I know that everybody does that for me, man.
I'll be here, man.
All right. I'll come in around 7:30 or something. All right. Bye.
All right. See you, bro. So there it is, man. Jake Schill's the man. My coach, my buddy, my friend. He's going to be fighting Catman. Man, just, you know, glad to have him on here as our first guest ever. Really cool dude, right? And, you know, so going into this stuff, should we start talking about
it? I mean, it's easy for me to get in here on a daily basis when you're training for a fight. It's a hell of a lot easier for me to come in here and help you train than it is to train for myself, man. That's tough. But I agree, man. We're a close group. You know, we talked about what the Scrap Pack is, what the team is, but let's talk about Scrap Pack Radio. I mean, let people know.
UFC fights or what?
Yeah, I mean, let's go down this card, and there's some good fights on this card. So let's give the fans your perspective on and my perspective on how we think this whole thing's going to shake out. So let's start. I think the first fight of the night there is Brendan Schaub against Gabriel Gonzaga. So Schaub, why you created this, why we're sitting here right now doing this, and what we hope people get out of it.
Well, I mean, first of all, this is like a daily routine for us. I mean, we get in here, we start debating about fights, we start analyzing fights, and we start critiquing fights and fighters. And, you know, I mean, this is what we do on a daily basis. So you know.
Obviously coming off the Ultimate Fighter, he lost in the finale to Roy Nelson via KO, but he's 6-1, all of his fights coming by TKO, all of his wins by TKO, I should say, coming off a TKO win over Chris Tuchscher. I know I mispronounced that one, but sorry, Chris. But back in July.
I decided, why not reach out to the people who care, you know, some of the fans, some of the people who are curious to hear what we have to say. So, you know, we really want to let you guys in and find out what we're all about, you know, and you guys can make your own opinions and do all that kind of stuff, but yeah, man, we also got some really young guys that are coming up, some prospects that I want to share with you.
Of course, Gonzaga's sporting an 11-5 record. His last fight was back in March, and he had a TKO loss to Junior Dos Santos, who he knows in line for a title shot. So, Gil, heavyweight battle, a lot of TKOs going around either way here. What do you think?
I mean, both of these guys have never been to a decision. They've either TKO'd someone or got TKO'd guys you can follow that are coming up in the game. But something I don't really see in the MMA media is a fighter perspective. And I feel I bring that to the table. I've been through it all in the MMA game. I've fought in, you know, crappy shows. I've fought internationally. I've won, I've lost. I've cut weight. I've been injured. It looks like Gonzaga here has a little bit more of the experience, and he's fought a lot of talent. The biggest talent I see that, you know, Brandon's face is Roy Nelson, and, you know, and we saw how that ended. But I did see that fight, and Brandon was doing a really great job, and, you know, Roy's just a professional out there, you know, and countered him beautiful. And Gonzaga, man, I've seen him knock out. I've been through a brutal training camp. And I've seen what there is in the MMA. I believe I'm going to be one of the first to see what's next in MMA. And also, I've trained in the main martial arts that you need to be a complete mixed martial artist.
Yeah, I mean, Gil, you're known to be a very well-rounded fighter. You know,
Mirko Krokop. So, I mean, this guy's a really tough guy. I think it's going to be a great matchup. But if Gonzaga comes prepared, like I've seen him before, I think, you know, his experience and his size is going to play a big difference in here. So I'm going to go with Gonzaga.
Interesting. Okay, I think Gonzaga. I think you're right. He's got the experience. He's a big, scary dude, man. You know, you're great wrestling, you're striking, you're grappling. I mean, everybody knows Cesar Gracie team has great grappling, great jiu-jitsu. You know, you're also known for your cardio and your pace. And I think that, you know, you're one guy that can bring the fans an aspect or a perspective that maybe other folks won't be able to bring. I mean, talk about your training. You train with a lot of different people and, you know, the best around in each aspect. Shaw's obviously a big dude as well, but I don't know, something scares me when Gonzaga walks out. He's scary. But,
yeah.
You know, I think he needs this win. I mean, he's had some disappointing performances. You know, he got knocked out by Carwin. He got TKO'd by Junior Dos Santos. I mean, he's kind of been up there fighting contenders but just never been able to pull it out. I mean, we know he's got to that, man. Talk about your training and how you focus on those aspects of your training.
Man, I've been, you know, really blessed in life to just have great coaches around me, and I'm really thankful for that. But, you know, I've never been a world champion wrestler. I've never really been a world champion jiu-jitsu guy. I've never been a world champion striker, but I'm a world champion MMA fighter, and I think
he always got the talent and the skill. He's a beast on his feet. He's a beast on the ground. I think he just needs to put it together. But I think his back's against the wall right now. I think he's got to win this fight, and I think he's just got the experience. And when he wants to, if he puts it all together, he can win. So I agree, man. I think somebody's getting TKO'd, but
someone's going down in this fight. That's what's good.
Somebody is definitely.
You know, I put that together well myself, but you know, I've been really fortunate. You know, I'm a Santa Ana High School wrestler. For all those of you who don't know what that is, that's the Southern Cali wrestling team. And you know, Coach Scott Glab was my head coach. Rick Law was my head coach out there as well, and they taught me a lot about discipline and what hard work's all about. And you know, and some of those guys down south, like, you know, Coach Vince Silva and Coach Jordan
TKO'd. So I'm going to agree with you here. I think Gonzaga's going to win this one. So next up, Tito Ortiz against Matt Hamill. Student versus pupil, if you will, as we know that Hamill was on Tito's team season 3, I think it was, of The Ultimate Fighter. So
solid. They helped me out, influenced me a lot of my wrestling. You know, Cesar Gracie and Jake Shields as well, my grappling, helped me improve my mental game as well and my grappling. And and my positioning and my endurance and my heart. And of course, I have a five-time world champion, Jongsun, on the Winterman Air Tag. A lot of people don't know about this guy. He's my stand-up coach, and he's a...
This is an interesting one. I mean, you know, Gil, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm looking here, and I see Matt Hamill's 9-2, but I really think he's 9-1. I think he totally got ripped off against Bisping back in the days out there in the UK. And you know, Tito Ortiz is a tough guy, man, but he hasn't been on much lately. I'm going to go in and say he's a Thai guy from Thailand, of course, and he was undefeated 6 years in the States. And he's amazing, man, and he really understands mixed martial arts. And a lot of stand-up coaches don't understand that. So I've been fortunate enough to have him. And, you know, now I'm even venturing out into the world of cardio and strengthening. And I got Coach Mark Me, and he's been helping me out. I can't forget Matt Hamill, but I'm going to tell you why. You know, I think Hamill's a little hungry. I mean, he's coming forward. He's a really good wrestler, and he's a tough dude, and he's really been impressive to me. I think he gets better every time. The only thing I am a little scared of is, for some reason, against Rick Franklin, he just got pummeled against, and it just seemed like he got big brothered a little. And I think that's one thing that he alters center out here. So I'm a student of the lifting and the cardio, but I believe I know a lot about, you know, what there is to see in the sport. So hopefully you guys will enjoy my perspective, and, you know, I want to let all you listeners in out here and really hear it.
Right on, Gil. I mean, I absolutely agree. I think one thing that we're lucky about here at the Scrap Pack, and
Ortiz has. And if Tito Ortiz can come out here and try to big brother him since he's been his coach, you know, it might play to his advantage. But just the way, you know, I mean, Tito's one of my heroes. He's inspiring me to get in this sport. So it's hard for me to choose Hamill over Tito because I'm always, you know, I'm usually always for Tito. But the way Tito's performed his last performance, I don't see the old fire of him coming in fearless with punches and blasts and dunks.
Being part of Caesar Grace, I mean, we have an amazing group of fighters, amazing group of coaches. I mean, my first fight, my first ever MMA fight, I had Gil Melendez and Jake Shields in my corner. My next fight, I had Gil, and then I had Nate Diaz in my corner. Four out of my five fights, I've had Gil and Jake in my corner, which is crazy. I mean, you know, I think if I was the other guy walking to the
legs, in my heart, I'm going for him, but... I'm going to have to say I think Matt Hamill's going to win, and I think he's going to take it to him and win a unanimous decision.
Okay, interesting. I like the big brother comment, right? Like, you can never win a fight against you. You don't have a big brother, though.
Yeah, his name is Jake Frickin' Shields, dude, and that's my big brother, and he just pummels me all the
cage, and I saw this guy come out with Jake and Gil in his corner and the Diaz brothers in his corner, man, I'd be like saying, shit, this can't be good. So we're a lucky group of guys, man. We have a different kind of perspective on things, and we're really lucky. Hopefully people can kind of tune into that and know what it's like. I mean, on a daily basis, we've got world champs in the gym. I mean, three world champs in the gym, four UFC fighters.
It sucks, man. Like, I going into training with him, it's like it's a little bit of a mental battle knowing that I'm about to get my butt kicked for 15 to 25 minutes. And you know, some days I can overcome it and do a little good. But, you know, it does have that edge. And, you know, and it's called the big brother. You know, it's called the big brother thing.
No, I know that all too well. I got a big brother 2 years old. So it's pretty crazy here. You know, Gil, I've seen you at the fan expos, man, and I've seen the fans come talk to you and get real excited. And you always, you know, you're always gracious with them, autographs, pictures, and the like, man. And I think that the fans, you know, this is just another way to give the fans some perspective and to get in touch with you. But talk about the fans and you just, like, no matter, even when I was wrestling and he wasn't, dude, it's just, there's something about that. You just can't beat up your big brother. It's just, I think it's physically, it's like a law of the universe. But anyway, I'm going to have to agree with you again. I mean, here, a little known fact, when I first started watching, got into MMA, and we were watching season 3 of Ultimate Fighter, Tito, and what they've meant to your career.
Man, the fans, man, I love the fans. You know, without the fans, I don't have a job. And, you know, I love talking to them. I love talking to fans who really know about the sport and, you know, even those who want to be educated on the sport. But, yeah, man, fans are great. You know, I love fighting in my backyard. Sometimes I fight in San Jose out here, and I hear the cheers, and, you know, it's fun traveling to Japan. And
Ortiz was MMA Hot Stuff's favorite fighter at the time. I may not be the truth now, but at the time, Tito Ortiz was her favorite. But I agree with you, man. I think Hamill's a bruiser. I don't think that Tito has gotten much better with his stand-up. I mean, his last fight was Forrest Griffin back in November of 2009. He lost a decision. His last
And even here, people cheer for me out there. You know, not too many, but people do. So, I mean, I got fans internationally, and you know, that's why we're doing the show, man. We really want to let the fans in and let them get to know me and the Scrap Pack and the whole Caesar Gracie fight team, and, you know, that's why we're doing this. So, you know, just want to tell the fans thank you guys all, and we really appreciate you all, man. And thank you very much for being a
legit opponent and legit performance, I think, was against Rashad. And okay. We know that was a draw. Now, granted, he could have won that fight probably since he got a point deducted for grabbing the cage. But it's just been a while since he fought a quality opponent. He's coming off injuries. It seems like he's banged up a lot. He, you know, and I don't think his stand-up's improved that much. I think he's going to be desperate to
try this.
All right, and with that, just for you, those of you just turning in, you're listening to Scrap Pack Radio. I'm Phil Baldacci, and we're here with Gilbert Melendez. You can follow us on Twitter at Scrap Pack Radio, all one word, and scrap with a K. You can hit us up at scrappackradio@gmail.com. Or if you want to call in and talk, you can reach us at 619-638-85 for the fight to the ground, because I think Hamill's going to be beating him up on his feet. And we know Hamill's got good stand-up. I mean, it might not be crisp and beautiful, but he can put a hurting on people. He put a hurting on Mark Munoz, and he'll go out there and bang with anybody. So I think what's going to happen is he's going to be bullying Tito around. Tito's going to be desperate to get this thing to the ground and try and get some of his 2-3. So first show here, we're going to do our best to get to some people for some questions and get to callers. But bear with us a little bit. I'm getting some messages that there's a bit of an echo, so we're working on that as well. Let us know if that gets better. But so, speaking of the Scrap Pack, one of the things we're going to do here every show is give everybody another pound in, but I don't think he's going to be able to get Hamill to the ground. I think Hamill's probably too big, too strong. He's got too much of a wrestling background, too good of a sprawl. And I think Tito's going to gas, and I think Hamill's going to get a TKO in the second round.
I agree, man. I mean, second round, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure, but I do think that you're right, man. Hamill's a guy that walks forward, and he is
based on what's going on with the Scrap Pack. A lot of fighters, a lot of guys competing in jiu-jitsu tournaments, grappling tournaments. So, Gil, let's go into that, man. Let's tell everybody what's going on with the Scrap Pack.
Well, first off, we have Caesar Gracie fighter Nathan Diaz, who will be fighting on UFC 125, and that is New Year's Day in Las Vegas. Again, he is like a bulldozer, and he is a bruiser, and he'll be coming forward, and he's willing to get hit. And yeah, Tito's fought guys like Rashad recently, Forrest, and Machida, guys who kind of sat back a little bit more and not really come forward and walk forward. And that's one thing I do like about Matt Hamill. He'll walk you down and just keep punching you, and I think that might have posed some threat to Tito right there. So, that's... correct me if I mispronounce this, but Don Huynh Kim, he's from Korea. He's an undefeated mixed martial artist here, and not the biggest name. He did beat Amir Sadala, who was the Ultimate Fighter Tough Champion, and I think it's going to be a good test for Nate. But I think Nate's going to be able to. This should be like one of the fights of the night, though. I think, you know.
I agree. I mean, I think hopefully Hamill heard the outrageous comment that Tito made about him and is just going to come in and put a fucking beating on him. I mean, it was just pretty ridiculous what Tito said. I don't know if he's just trying to hype the fight because he's not the main event or the co-main event. I don't know if he's
to pound this guy. It's going to be a great show, and I think we have to pick Nate Diaz for that, but everyone look out for Nate Diaz in that upcoming fight.
I agree, man. I'll be the first to say, not the greatest with names. Some of these names are kind of tough. So, to anybody that we mispronounce their name, a preemptive apology, if you will. So, just trying to stir the pot, but it was pretty outrageous and ridiculous. So, anyway, I think we're both on the same page with this one. I think it's Hamill's
fight. Come
on,
Tito, I love you, bro. Why do you have to say that?
Yeah, that's just wrong. I mean, there's certain stuff you can say, but that was pretty wrong. So, anyway, all right. Next fight up, we got Paulo Thiago and a guy you've trained with before, DA. Next up, we got one of our boys, Johnny Carson. He's one of our lightweight fighters here at the Scrap Pack. He is fighting in Tulsa, Oklahoma for XFL. He'll be fighting on, I think that's a Friday, October 22nd. So he's fighting Mike Castile, and Johnny will be working his way back up. Rodrigo Sanchez, the Nightmare, making, I think, his second fight back at 170 pounds. Paulo Thiago's coming off a loss to Martin Kampmann back in June of this year. He's got some wins over Koscheck. We all saw that one. We'll get your thoughts on that. He's beat Slick. You know, obviously, Diego's been between 170 and 150.
Coming back, yeah, Johnny's coming back to get his title, man. Tough guy. He's come a long way. He's one of our guys who moved all the way from Oklahoma here, and he's been doing great. And then next on the list, we got Roy Botton. Roy is 4-1. He's with the Caesar Gracie fight team out there. I know Dan Black brought him into the game, and now he's out there in Pleasant Hill working with Caesar.
You know, he had a title shot at 155, but he's beaten guys like Guida and Stevenson and Joe Riggs and Carl Parisian. So apparently Diego is back in Albuquerque training with Greg Jackson. So, Gil, how do you break this one down?
Well, I'm going to say the W is going to go to Diego Sanchez. And let me tell you why. I mean, I think he'll be fighting on Saturday, October 23rd, in the W1 Canada-based show, and he'll be fighting none other than Marilla Ninja Ruha, ex-Pride veteran. And, I mean, this is a big jump for Roy, man. He's only had, I think, all his fights in the first year. But I've trained with this guy, man. And, I mean, this brother got cardio. This brother got heart. I mean, guys are both pretty good strikers, you know, really, really good grapplers. But the thing Diego has to me is he's a better wrestler, and he's more aggressive. And, I mean, if this is the Diego Sanchez that trains at you know, that Greg Jackson and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the same Diego Sanchez that I've sparred, I see him actually upsetting a lot of people. I mean, he's a great striker, and I think he's going to go a long way. Some may say he's going to be jumping the gun here, but kind of our style, man, to see the great fight team, scrap pack, is we take advantage of these opportunities and jump on them. So, you know, big up to Roy, and good luck to him out there.
All right, next up, I think I actually dropped my connection, so I think I'm back on, but sorry to everybody. So next up, we got Jordan Ninja Felix.
In the odds right now, it seems like Paulo Thiago is the favorite, but I think, you know, Diego's going to be able to be more relentless and come forward and make the fight happen and be the aggressor, and that's what's going to make the difference. But, you know, Paulo Thiago, you know, I mean, yeah, he knocked out Josh Koscheck, but, I mean, he was getting – I mean, I don't really say there's much luck in MMA, but if there was luck, that was kind of a luck to me.
Jordan has been participating in the California Amateur State Tourney. He'll be fighting here in San Francisco at the Dragon House Saturday the 23rd at 3 o'clock p.m. So if you want to come out and support Ninja, if you want to come out and support the Scrap Pack, come by El Nino Training Center or give us a call. We'll hook you up with some tickets. But Ninja...
I mean, Koscheck was kind of socking him up, and then he just got... that lucky uppercut, which buckled Koscheck. Koscheck was really up, but the ref jumped in, I think, prematurely right there. You know, he also lost to Kampmann. I saw him get taken down pretty easy, and, I mean, he didn't tap out Kampmann, and he's supposed to be the better jiu-jitsu guy, and Kampmann almost jiu-jitsued him up a little. I mean, I think this guy had a lot of hype.
I think that's the semifinals of the California State Amateur Tournament, right, Gil?
Yeah, man. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, there's a California State Tournament now for amateur. I mean, this is the first year they're having it, and we got a boy in the semifinals. Jordan Ninja Felix has been, I believe, 6-1 as an amateur right now, and he had a war. I thought he won his loss, but he's one of the, you know, a really tough guy out here. He's fighting, but I never really kind of jumped on that. And I believe the hype with Diego Sanchez. I think he's a stud. He didn't look the best his last fight, but I don't think he was also training with Greg Jackson at the time, and I think he knows he has to deliver in this fight, and I think he will, man. What do you think, Philly?
I'm going to disagree with you, Gil. You know,
well, you're wrong. 35 should be fighting 125s, but he's a guy I want you guys to keep your eyes on, man. He's a young kid who's doing it right. He's training hard, and he's one of these guys I'm telling you guys about. You listeners, you know, keep an eye out for this guy. He's going to be one guy you're happy you follow. And next on the list, number 5, we got D. Rob Daniel Roberts, a.k.a. Ninja. He's also fighting this Saturday, October.
Then, okay. Then I'll punch you in the face later and tell you I'm right. No, I'm kidding. So, no, I actually will punch you in the face when we spar later. Here's the thing. You know, Diego, his last fight against Hathaway, I was not impressed. I kind of felt like since he went down to 155, he's not the
23rd UFC 121. He'll be fighting Mike Guymon, the Joker. And Daniel's coming off a win over Forrest Pettz. And D-Rob, this is his third fight in the UFC. He's been with the Strat Pack for almost a year now. He's been training with us. He's been picking up a lot. I mean, he has really good work ethic.
Game at 170. I think he's always been kind of a small 70-pounder. But now I think he's just not there. I mean, hopefully the guy's put on a little bit of size. But I think Thiago coming off the loss is going to be able to keep the fight on his feet if he wants. I don't know if he'll be able to get Diego down, but I think Diego will want to get it down.
You guys should look out for him out there. We're really proud to have him out here.
That's right. We got two ninjas in the gym, right, Gil?
That's right. We got two ninjas.
Two ninjas. We might have to have those guys battle it out. Okay. Next up, Gil, I think we're looking at Jake Shields.
Jake Shields, baby, making his UFC debut against Martin Kattman. Jake's coming.
And I think Thiago will have an advantage there. I'm just not sold on Diego Sanchez coming back up to 170 yet. I'm not sold on whether or not he's back to his old form. I mean, after that BJ fight, I don't know, man. I just have a feeling. I think Paulo Thiago is going to win this one, and Diego Sanchez is going to have a decision to make about what the heck that guy does if he stays up.
The most impressive win in his life. I mean, he beat Dan Henderson, the Dan Henderson. I mean, if I beat Dan Henderson, I mean, I might just retire and just kind of run with that. But and the rumor is if Jake smashes Kattman, he'll be getting the next shot at GSP. I mean, we don't want to look past Kattman and all, but I mean, that's awesome. You know what I mean?
That's a big deal for Jake. I mean, Jake pretty much dominated here. He goes back down to 155. Don't get me wrong. He's an exciting fighter to watch. I think Thiago's a little bit better than you're giving him credit for, man. I mean, I like what Joe Rogan says. I mean, I don't think there is such thing as a lucky punch, right? I mean, it's not like he just closed his eyes and swung that fist and was hoping he hit him.
I actually think that's what
happened. Okay. Hendo, and, he's been fighting his ass off for a long time at a lot of the smaller shows over in Japan, and he's kind of made his way to the top now, man. So big ups to Jake, and Jake will be joining us a little bit later.
Heck yeah, I'll be asking some cool questions. You guys will get to know Jake on a personal basis.
Right on. All right. Next up, okay. Well, we'll go watch the replay. See if
he's
watching.
Watch that replay, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. He closed his eyes and threw an uppercut. No, I mean he's a great fighter. I think he's a tough guy, but yeah, man, I really think they're kind of equally matched. But what's going to make the difference is Diego's aggression and his heart, and I think it's not going to be an act. He's going to come out there ready. I mean, you're right. There's a lot on the line for Diego on this, and I think he.
Update on Gilbert. Gilbert what? Got his brown belt last week, right, Gil?
Yes, sir.
Long time coming.
Belt. Yeah, so proud of that, man. Caesar Gracie gave me my brown belt, and for all of you who don't know, it's freaking difficult to get a belt under Caesar Gracie. I mean, I can count all of his black belts on one hand. Hopefully he recognizes that, and hopefully he can deliver.
All right. Well, our first disagreement so far, and just so the fans know, anybody tuning in, you're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Gilbert Melendez and Phil Baldacci, and we are breaking down the UFC 121 card. Gil and I will be keeping track of our picks.
Four or five of them. And it means a lot to me, man. I mean, first of all, I'm sick of being a purple belt. I mean, it's such an ugly color, but now I'm a brown belt. I'm so proud of it, man. I mean, I've been working my butt off to be a complete mixed martial artist. I'm trying to master wrestling. I'm trying to master stand-up, and now I'm one step closer to mastering the jiu-jitsu.
So that in later episodes, we can talk trash to each other about who's the better of the analysts, if you will. So I'm picking Paulo Thiago. You're picking Diego. We'll see what plays out with that. We'll both be there to watch it live anyway. So next fight up is one near and dear to our heart, Jake Shields. Jake Shields.
In the grappling world, so pretty proud of the brown belt.
That's right, man. One day closer to your black belt, huh?
Exactly. That's what I say, man. One day closer to my black belt now. Maybe in 5 years I'll get it.
All right, well.
But enough of that. And next, last thing on Scrap Pack News here, we have the EA video game coming out tomorrow.
I am going to kick your ass, Gilbert.
With me.
Yes, Martin Kattman. I mean, should we give it? Let's go ahead and make our picks, and then we'll let the fans know what they can expect.
All right. I'm going to say Jake Shields by whatever the hell he wants. No, I mean, we're biased here, bro. I mean, Jake's on fire. I mean, how could anyone doubt him after what he did to Dan Henderson? You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be me. But, yeah, there'll be an EA grand opening event. I'll be there. It's going to be in Southern California tomorrow. But, you know, for those of you who are going to buy the video game, I will be in it. Jake Shields will be in it. So choose us. You probably played Jake on the demo already. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing the game. I don't even really play video games, but I love Fight Night Boxing, so that helps. Don't feel bad, Dan. You know, this happens to everybody. This happens to me in practice. I mean, it was no secret to me that Jake would just mount someone like Dan and or anyone in this world and just do what they want with them. So, I mean, I think Jake is just an improved striker, an amazing wrestler. I mean, I've been sparring with him. He's, you know, like I said, he busted up my nose. I'm going to my training, so I figure this might help me with my training.
All right, man. So would you be mad at me if I was Aoki and I beat you? Would that piss you off?
It's pretty happened, man. I played the demo, and King Mo was Aoki. This was before the fight Aoki. And he tapped me out, like, in like, 15, 20 seconds, and I just said, you know what, this game is not real. I'm with the stand-up now, so that makes this wrestling even better. I think you got Catman anywhere he wants right here. I mean, Catman, you're a tough guy. You're a tough dude out there, but, you know, like I say, man, I really don't feel bad for what's about to happen to you because, I mean, I have to do this crap every day with this guy. But it should be a good war. I'm going for Jake. I think second round submission.
Okay.
You guys got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So
well, you showed them. You showed them.
I hope they fix that.
All right, man. All right. Well, that's Scrap Pack news for the day. Yeah. So I think one of the things we were gonna do, we were working on a great guest for you guys. We're actually going to get Eddie Alvarez to come on and talk. You're giving Campman some credit. I don't know if you're just being nice or what, but, I mean, I agree with you. So you know, Scrap Pack Radio is never going to pick against a Scrap Pack member or a teammate. But, you know, in this one, I think it's a pretty legit pick, obviously. You know, after seeing how Jake handled Hendo, I mean, tough first round. But then it was a skill, but unfortunately, Eddie is busy with his fight commitments for the week. He'll be fighting Roger Huerta coming up on Bellator, so we will do our best to get you, to get Eddie on.
Yeah, man, I'd like to say something about that. You know, I saw Ariel, the
instigator, four-round beating. And, you know, it made me feel good about myself watching him mount Hendo because I was like, oh, wow, Dan Henderson can't get out of his mount. Now I don't feel so bad about not being able to get out of Jake's mount. You know, I think the difference, the one thing that is going to change this fight up is, you know, I think Jake's going to get Campman down. I think he's going to pass his guard and get to mount and break his will. And the thing we did,
Helwani out there, you know, try to instigate a little battle between me and him. And, you know, I'm not talking crap on Eddie. I respect the guy. That's why I'm mentioning his name all the time. I truly believe number one fighter out there is Frankie Edgar, and him and Eddie and I are number two and three, and I think that fight needs to happen. I mean, I can't live with myself. Just
to see in Strikeforce that we'll get to see in the UFC is elbows on the ground, and I think that's going to be, you know, for a guy like Jake who gets the fight to the ground and is a position guy and gets the side mount, gets a half guard, gets to mount, and starts landing some elbows. You know, Campman's going to have a decision to make. He's either going to
the journalist determine who the number one, two, three guys out there. We need to find out for ourselves, and I think Eddie and I can make that happen. You know, and I respect that guy, but, you know, if he ever wants to talk, we'll have a special Scrap Pack Radio show for them, and we could talk about it a little bit more and everything, but, you know, good luck to Eddie this weekend. He has a tough task.
Give up his back, give up an arm, or wait for the ref to jump in. So, you know, I see this one, actually, I don't think Campman makes it out of the first round. I think after, you know, after seeing Jake's last couple of performances, I don't see a way Campman wins this fight.
Man, you bring a great point. You're starting to persuade me to go back to the first round here. I have to work in front of him.
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, I definitely would love to see Melendez and Alvarez. I mean, I think a lot of fans out there would love to see that fight. I would love to see it cape side, man. So hopefully we'll get Eddie on sometime. We'll work on that for the fans. And I think that'd be a pretty interesting conversation.
Yeah, definitely. But right. speaking of, I think you're so right, Phil. But one thing you did tap on was the elbows, man. I don't think Jake Shields is a pioneer of the elbow in MMA, and it was hard. You can't throw elbows in Strikeforce, and it's hard to ground and pound when you cock back to throw a punch, you give a guy so much space to react and to move and to get up and to get to his knees. So cage side, I was at cage side at the last Strikeforce event. Let's talk about that, Billy.
All right, man. Let's recap those fights and see, you know, give your perspective on what you thought of those. I mean, I thought overall it was a great card. It was exciting. There were some good fights and some good talent on that card. So let's kick it off with the Kaufman versus Conan fight. Would you think
the elbows and the correct grappling in jiu-jitsu, you can hold the guy down and just pepper the crap out of him with elbows, cut him up, hurt him, and knock him. And Jake knows how to do that. So I'm glad you brought that up, Phil, because I think that's going to play a big difference. Now, that's persuading me to say that I think he's going to get a first-round finish now, you know?
Okay, I see how this is. You go first.
I really follow the girls' fights. You know, I like girls' fighting. I mean, my girl fights, and I plan on her making me some money after she gets her knees better and have her fight some MMA. So look out for Carrie Ann.
She hits hard. She does hit hard.
She does hit hard. But I was front row watching these girls fight, and I have to say, man, I'm really proud of
you. First, and then I go, and then you get to change your mind. I'm not sure. Okay, whatever. We'll let that slide for now. But we're going to have to set some ground rules coming up on our picks. And if you're able, we'll flip a coin, see who goes first or something. Because I don't know about the whole changing your mind after I break it down.
I'm going in because I bet $100 on her at +230. I thought it was a great bet. And, I think it was a great matchup. Conan, I really like her. She's a complete mixed martial artist. I think Kaufman was getting the better striking on her. And she was the better striker, but Conan was able to strike with her. And then she brings it to the ground, to her world, and, you know, almost snapped a triangle on her, almost got an arm bar. And I thought that was the perk of being the champ, you know what I mean? Just
it's kind of like home field advantage. I mean, we're in your gym, you're the champ. Okay, well, you're right, perks of being the champ. All right, so we're both picking Jake on that one. So, by the way, just a quick note for you, Gil. On Twitter, Damon Martin of MMA Weekly just said he's going to steal your "he got big brothered" phrase. Apparently,
in the third round, she did bring it back to her world again, which was the ground, and was able to catch her in an armbar that she held for a little bit long. But I don't blame anyone but the referee for not jumping in there and stopping it soon. But hats off to both those girls. They're both talented. Kaufman obviously shows a little bit of holes in her jiu-jitsu. Great stand-up, great sprawling, great mixed martial artist, but needs to...
The "he got big brothered" is a good phrase. People are liking it. So, good job.
You're a pioneer.
You're a pioneer, really.
Pioneers in journalism. Wow. Start making waves.
All right, so let's move on to the main event. Last fight on UFC 121. We got the fight for the heavyweight championship. Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez.
Learn those submission defenses. She was in those triangles and armbars a little much. It was inevitable. She was going to get tapped out eventually. So big ups to Conan on that. I mean, now what's next for her? Her is Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate just won that four-woman tournament, I should say, and lined herself up for a title shot. So that's going to be Miesha Tate versus Conan.
Is an interesting fight. So obviously Cain is coming into this thing undefeated at 8-0. Brock's got a 5-1 record, obviously, the only blemish on his record being to Frank Mir. His last fight, coming off his submission win over Carwin, second-round submission win. He's got wins over Carwin, Mir, Randy, Couture. Cain's got wins over...
And I think that makes for a really good matchup right there. Miesha Tate versus Conan, I think, will be... good for Miesha Tate. You know, I think she had a little tougher time with Sarah Kaufman, but the way styles match up in MMA means a lot, and I think that's going to be a great fight right there. So I'm looking forward to that. And kudos to Strikeforce for putting on those women out there.
Congo, Rothwell, and most recently, Big Nog. So, you know, this is an interesting fight, Gil. I mean, what do you think?
I'm excited, man. I'm super excited for this fight. This is a dream heavyweight matchup. I don't think we've had a heavyweight matchup like this ever in MMA, and I mean, Brock Lesnar, I've been a fan of this guy's forever, and showing how talented they are.
I agree. I mean, I thought that was a good fight, you know, and I agree with you. I mean, she held on to the submission. The ref jumped in. I don't necessarily think there was any ill intent, like she was trying to break Kaufman's arm or anything. I thought it was a good fight. You know, the girls always come to throw down. It's always exciting. And it didn't disappoint. I thought that...
I'm wrestling college. I was like, this guy's a beast. He needs to do MMA. And I'm a pro wrestling fan, so I was okay with him doing that. But Cain Velasquez as well, I'd go train at AKA sometimes, and I saw this guy when he first walked in, and you could just feel it from this guy. This guy was going to be a champ. But I'm going to go ahead and say it, man. I think Cain Velasquez is gonna TKO Brock Lesnar sometime in the...
Kaufman kind of had the right idea. I think she was trying to get Conan up against the cage so that, you know, she could kind of stay away from the striking. But every time she took it down, I mean, I think she got it down to the ground in that first round. And you could see, I mean, Conan's jiu-jitsu was legit. She was moving her hips real well. And I kind of thought as Kaufman got that takedown, I was like, man, I think it's just a matter of time on the ground till
third round. And I don't think it's going to be easy, but just Cain looks so fast and improved, and his striking is just faster. His wrestling is great. I believe if he does get taken down, just like Randy Couture did, he's going to get right back up. A lot of people get stuck on bottom. Frank Mir did. Keith Haring did. A couple guys got stuck on bottom. But a wrestler like Cain Velasquez,
Conan catches her.
I'm going to agree with you on that, man. You can just see how much better she was on the ground or how much more intelligent she seemed or experienced out there. But I kind of like how you said that about the girls, man. Every time the girls out there, what is it about girls? Every time they go out there, they really try to kill each other, man. I really like that, man. I really like that. But coming to our next fight, we had Tyrone Woodley versus Andrus on a stand-up and get up. And I think he's going to get up and keep coming with those punches. And who knows, maybe put Brock on his back. And I think a ref might have to come in and stop because we all saw how tough Brock is. I mean, he can take a big beating and he can overcome adversity, and he proved a lot in that last fight, but he has some big holes in his game. But he's that good that he can have a big hole and stand up and still be dominant, so you can never count him out. Galveo and these two guys, man, I thought they were going to be possibly the fight of the night. I mean, I liked watching Galveo fight. He, he's a master jiu-jitsu guy. Tyrone Woodley, of course, he trains at ATT, great wrestler, great striker, and a well-rounded mixed martial artist. And in Cain Velasquez, his striking is going to make the difference. His speed, his footwork, and him being a relentless fighter. I think he's amazing, and I'm looking forward to seeing him become a heavyweight champ.
Interesting. Okay. I'm conflicted on this one, man. This is a tough one to call
for a title shot. I thought these guys were going to bang it out. I predict this might be fight of the night, but Woodley, with improved stand-up, socks him in the dome, and I couldn't tell if Galveo was, like, faking it at first or was just kind of playing cat and mouse, but apparently he was really stumbled, and it was just the finish from there on out,
I think Cain is more talented. I mean, you know, people make a lot of a big deal about Brock being, an NCAA champ, NCAA runner-up. I mean, granted, he was a stud at Minnesota. I mean, he lost, I think his junior year, he lost to Stephen Neal, who was just probably the best heavyweight wrestler I've ever seen. I mean, that guy was unbelievable for a heavyweight.
There was real no big point in that fight where I thought it was super exciting. But, I mean, hey, man, congrats to Tyrone Woodley. He's a guy that I think might be in line to get a title shot against Nick Diaz pretty soon.
Yeah, that was a good fight. I mean, Woodley's a beast, man. He's athletic.
He's
got amazing wrestling. He's obviously a freestyle world champ, everything. Now he plays for the Patriots, I think. So
can I stop right there real quick? I mean, can Stephen Neal come do some MMA? You know what I mean? We've been waiting for you for a long time. Big shout-out to that guy. You're an amazing dude. I grew up watching you, man. If this guy could come do some MMA, just throwing it out there, bro. All right, carry on.
No, I'm glad you bring that up because I actually don't stand up. Galvao's no pushover, though. He's no chump. And he clearly didn't want to go to the ground with Galvao. Galvao kept trying to get it to the ground, even, I think, kind of tried to pull guard and butt scoot a little bit.
The Aoki
butt scoot. Woodley could have taken a page out of your book and just dove in with a shot to the face. But, you know, have been saying this for a while. So I got to tell you, I was not a Brock fan at first, and partially because I didn't like his whole WWE thing. I thought it was kind of lame that he got such a quick title shot. And he fought Randy, and I was there at the fight. MMA Hot Stuff and I were there, and it was brutal, man, watching him beat Randy. And I thought the reality was size just – I thought Woodley was going to win this fight, and he did, man, and he proved he's legit. I don't know that I'm ready to see him get a title shot at Diaz. I mean, the Strikeforce just signed Paul Daly. I'd maybe like to see Woodley fight Daly, although I'd also like to see Nick fight Daly.
Yeah,
but
I think that's the dream matchup right there. Woodley, you know, start Woodley up with Daly, and you know, I think Daly needs to
made a huge difference in that fight, not technique. And you know, they always say technique beats size, but at the end of the day, dude, the guy had too much size. But to your point of Stephen Neal, I've always felt Stephen Neal was like the one upper to Brock Lesnar. Like he's like, oh Brock, I beat you for the NCAA championship. Oh Brock, look at me, I'm a world champ for the internet, you know, USA Wrestling
shot against Nick. So I mean, I like to see maybe Woodley and Daly. I think that's a great idea right there. Yeah,
I think we definitely see where Woodley is. I mean, you know, Daly's had a lot of fights. He's had a ton of experience. Came out of the UFC. He was you know, close to a title shot. I mean, I think Koscheck kind of showed Daly's holes, and I think Woodley could national team. Oh, Brock, you tried football. Look at me. I play for the Patriots. I've got a couple Super Bowl rings. I'm making a ton of money. Like, you know, Brock couldn't beat him in the NCAAs. Brock couldn't make it with the Minnesota Vikings. So who knows? You know, I think that if Stephen Neal put his mind to it and wanted to, I think it'd be a hell of a fight. Who knows? I mean, obviously that's a long ways away to take advantage of those. But I'd still like to see that fight. I'd still like to see, you know, how Woodley progresses. I mean, I think he's 9-0 now, so
I'd definitely like
to see him earn it.
And if Woodley does beat Daly, I mean, that puts some part. I mean, Daly's still in the top 10. I mean, I think he is, or you know, according to the rankings out there. And I think that'd be good. I think that'd be a smart move of Strikeforce to put Tyrone Woodley.
The guy would have to train. He's still playing for the Patriots. You know, who knows if that's even realistic. I mean, those linemen get beat up. You know, the guy's probably got the body of a 50-year-old at this point after all his years in the NFL. But who knows? Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I've always felt he was the one-upper to Brock Lesnar, and I'd like to see that. So, anyway, back to the fight. I think Kane is obviously more talented than
Daly, because if he clowns Daly, like, I think it's possible or not, you know, but if he does, then that shoots him up maybe in the top 10 and it makes sense a little bit more for him to get a title shot. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to one that's near and dear to your heart. You were cage side commentating for this one, and obviously I think his hands are amazing. You know, I'm conflicted because I think he should win on talent, but I feel like he's too small. But that being said, I think the key to this fight is going to be if he can get up off the bottom. I think it's probably given. Brock will get him to the ground once or twice. You know, Brock's going to bully him over, maybe get him up against the cage, hold him up, rightfully so, since it was a lightweight bout. And really kind of, you know, the people were saying this was to see who gets the next crack at El Nino. So... Josh Thompson against Jay-Z Calvacante, on paper, awesome fight, and it delivered. I thought it was a great fight. I'm not too sure I agree with against the cage and the clinch. Get him down to the ground. I think that's probably a given. And if Kane can get back up, I think he wins this fight. If he can show that he can get back up in a reasonable amount of time, not spend 5 minutes trapped under Brock getting pounded like Mir did, I think he wins this fight. It's a five-round fight. I think Kane will have the edge in the cardio. I think Kane has the edge in the stand-up. I think decision. So why don't you run through and let everybody know. Let me know what you think, Gil.
First of all, man, sitting cage side by that fight, I mean, I was nervous. You know, I mean, just watching them. Those guys are my weight class. Those are guys I'm going to battle. I mean, I respect them both highly. So, I mean, I was there commentating, and, you know, it was hard to stay focused while doing it. But, man, I think
as the fight goes on into the later rounds, you know, Brock's going to start getting tired, and Kane's stand-up is going to catch up with Brock, and he's going to knock Brock silly. I mean, I think the thing we saw in the Carwin fight was Brock still doesn't have that stand-up instinct. You know, when they were on their feet and he took a couple hard shots, he kind of put his hands up, turned his back a little bit, ran.
Wow.
It was a little rough. To see.
That first round was super close. I mean, you know, they were tangling up. They were doing the drunken sailor, you know, just locked up with each other. You know, one guy had his back against the fence. The other guy is back against the fence. I thought, like, Jay-Z had him against the fence a little bit more. And then, you know, somewhere halfway through the round, Jay-Z drops him and jumps guillotine and looked like he had it pretty deep.
A little rusty.
Toughest man on the planet.
Toughest man on the planet, but when that guy hit me in the face, I turned and ran. so, you know, I think what's going to happen is Kane's stand-up is going to catch up to Brock. I think he just has more ways to win this fight. It's just a matter of whether he can wear him down and deal with his size. And I think that...
And then, you know, he's holding it for a good minute, and about a minute and a half left in the fight, I see Josh Thompson pull out, posture up, start pounding on him a little bit and trying to steal the round, and ends up in an arm triangle at the end, whether it was latched in or not. I mean, they both had two post submission attempts in that first round, and I thought that first round was super good.
Question just because I'm picking Kane. I think Kane's going to win this fight around the fourth round. I think he's going to connect on his feet, finish it on the ground. So I think he's going to win fourth round TKO. And then I think the question is how long Kane is champ. Because I think he's destined to be champ, and I think he's just got so much talent. Sky's the limit for this guy.
But I gave it to Jay-Z. I mean, who did you give that first round to?
I gave that first round to Jay-Z. And, you know, I know that Thompson ended up on top at the end of the round. You know, yeah, he finished strong, but I don't know that he finished strong as much as he just kind of turned the tide a little bit. I mean, Jay-Z knocked him down, latched onto a guillotine.
I agree, man. He's a true mixed martial artist. I think he's going to have an answer for everyone, you know, and whether it's a better stand-up guy, a better wrestler, a better jiu-jitsu guy, he's a true mixed martial artist that has the tools to beat anyone out there. And we're behind him. He's out here. He's from Cali, man. He's from Cali. So, you know, we got his back out here, and hopefully he brings that title back to Cali out here. And I'm glad you...
In my book, Jay-Z got the edge in the striking. Had a legit submission attempt, and of course Josh finished the round on top, finished with the submission attempt of his own, but I don't think just because you finished the round on top for the last 20, 30 seconds means you win that round.
Right.
So I give the first round to Jay-Z.
Yeah, and then the second round came, and I'm glad you picked him.
Yeah, I mean, one hell of a fight. Either way that thing goes, I think it's going to be one hell of a fight. And heavyweight division out there is stacked, and there's some damn exciting fights to be had. So I'm looking forward to that.
I think we can agree that the stand-up is going to make the difference in this fight, whether he can get up from the bottom or not, right? That's what we're thinking with Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, I think so.
And Josh Thompson came out strong. You know, I think he used his momentum from the end of that first round and put Jay-Z down on his back. And when he took him down, I mean – he almost went straight to the mount, but I think he got that hook in and started riding Jay-Z and just peppering him away and kind of waiting for Jay-Z to move and was able to control him that whole round, I believe. He had Jay-Z just about in his...
If he can get up from the bottom, I think he has the edge in stand-up. But, you know, the kind of unknown with Brock is, he's an athletic guy. I think he probably is picking stuff up quickly. So, you know, the question also becomes how far he's come since his Carwin fight. You know, we didn't get to see a lot of his stand-up. I think Carwin kind of bullied him. I think the difference between Carwin and Kane
that whole round, and if Jay-Z did get to his feet, there wasn't really much going on out there. But yeah, Josh Thompson controlled that round. I was really impressed with that, and it looked like he was gonna, you know, cruise into victory if he kept that up for the third round. But I was one to think that, you know, hey man, the third round is gonna be the tiebreaker, or you still have to win it. And
Carwin's a little bit more of a big puncher. Kane's, I think, a little bit more of a finesse. Throws a lot of good combos, but we saw him knock Nogueira out, so you know he's got some power behind it. But I think it's going to come down to his ability to get up off the bottom.
Right.
So,
I agree with you, man. So pumped for that fight. So pumped.
I can't wait for this fight. It's coming up Saturday, man. It's hard to believe it's on.
And maybe Joshua thought he won it by that time. What do you think of that second round?
Yeah, he definitely controlled the positioning. He controlled the grappling. He has back there for a little while. He won the round. It was pretty clear cut at the end of the second. I mean, at the end of the second, I had it one round each. But, you know, I think it was a little up in the air in terms of who people will hear, you know. So it's going to be a great fight.
I will be there.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Phil Baldacci and Gilbert Melendez. You can follow us on Twitter at Scrap Pack Radio, all one word, scrap with a K. You can also email us any questions, scrappackradio@gmail.com. So we're gonna change gears a little bit here. We're going to welcome one who the judges gave that first round to. So I agree. I mean, Josh might have been feeling comfortable going into the third round. Second round, he dominated.
Yeah, and I saw that comfort going into the third round. I saw a little bit more comfort in Josh's eyes, and I saw a little bit more desperation and aggression in Jay-Z. And when they lined up to hit gloves in that third round, I mean, I was there. I knew it was on.
Some of our friends from Heavy.com. So as you all know, if you're not listening through Heavy.com, you can. Heavy.com's helping bring Scrat Pack Radio through the masses to the masses. And they're going to be joining us every once in a while to give us kind of the latest rundown on what some of the latest MMA news is. So on the phone, we've got Nate Lawson. Nate, are you there?
And, you know, it was kind of the second round vice versa, the third round. JD came out strong, you know, put Josh on his back. He got the mount position, got the hook position, you know, ground and pounded him pretty good, pretty vicious ground and pound, Jay-Z. He was pretty impressed with that. And then Josh gets to his feet. Jay-Z puts him on his back again. And Josh threw a couple submission attempts out there and, you know, got him in that run.
Yes, I'm right here. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing, man?
What's up,
Nate? Doing well, thanks.
All right.
How's it going, Gilbert?
Chilling, bro. Glad. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, all right, thanks for having me.
Let's give a quick shout-out to Jeremy Botter, who's laid up on the couch via his Twitter. He said on Twitter he's laid up on the couch. I guess the guy's got the flu. So we'll see him in Anaheim.
And smiled at the camera. I mean, you know, to be honest, I think, you know, that stuff to me doesn't work, but it looks like it kind of sold some of the judges. And, you know, one of the judges gave him that round, and it was, you know, it was a good fight. I thought Jay-Z stole it right there at the end, but really good fight. I had to give it to Jay-Z, that fight, but I could see how I went to Josh.
The guy better, yeah, I think Gilbert's making the I drank too much wine symbol, so maybe Botter's a little hungover. So, Nate, listen, let's talk about kind of what some of the latest news is in the MMA world. I mean, let's start with UFC 121. I think, you know, we had Jake Shields on, and I think we've all heard that Dana's saying that the win
Thompson, now it lines up a part three for us.
The rubber match, right? I mean, I agree with you. You know, I think Jay-Z clearly won that third round. He had position. He was unleashing some pretty vicious ground and pound. I kind of felt like Josh Thompson was just cruising that round out. So maybe he really felt comfortable that he had the first two rounds in the bag. You know, I mean, of the Campman-Shields fight, assuming it's Shields, knowing it's Shields, we'll get the next crack at GSP. Is that still the what people are saying?
Yeah, that's what people are saying. It definitely seems to be geared more toward Shields winning this fight. Campman winning this fight, I don't think it happens, first of all, but if it somehow did...
Listen, I'm okay with you looking at the camera and smiling and everything, and you know, you're in your hometown crowd, maybe that's his deal and his personality, but I don't know, dude, if I got a big guy like Jay-Z on top of me trying to ground and pound me, I don't know that I'm smiling at the crowd. I might be trying to get out, so... you know, but I agree. I mean, I gave that third round to Jay-Z. I gave the fight to Jay-Z. I thought it should.
I still don't think he'd be in line for a title shot, but Shields definitely. And if he wins it, I don't see how he does not get a title shot, even over John Fitch.
So then what do they do with Fitch? I mean, that guy's, you know, he's a tough fighter. He wins his fights. He's been waiting in the wings. I mean, does he just kind of have to wait and see what pans out between the Jay-Z Melendez coming up next? But apparently the gods want to see Melendez and Josh part three, the rubber match.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's something I do want to see. I'd love to see part three for that. You know, and you know, Josh is a good friend, but maybe a better enemy. You know what I mean? Josh Thompson's the man, dude.
Just checking GSP, or what do they do with that guy?
I mean, it's a rough time for John Fitch because he does what they ask him to do in terms of winning, but he just doesn't do it in the fashion that they're looking for. So what do you do with him? That's a tough question. Obviously, it seems that fighting Koscheck or Swick is out of the question.
We are friends, but it's hard to take your friendship to that next level when you got to fight this guy. And I can't help but say, but it's personal out there. You know what I mean? I'm not high-fiving, shaking hands. Like, when I'm fighting you, it's personal. It's you know, it's me furthering my career and making more money for my family and my kid, and the same for Josh. So as much as I want to be his friend.
I'm up against a guy like Dan Hardy, a Brit who struggles a bit with wrestling. You could do that. Maybe even Carlos Condit after his win at UFC 120. He certainly is taking the next step up. So, you know, with Fitch, he just needs to win. He needs to get an impressive victory, you know, and until he does that, I don't think Dana White.
If we're gonna have that overmatch, I'm gonna have to push away a little bit and be a better enemy for now.
I agree. I mean, I think it's a still small community, so it's kind of hard to fight these guys and not know them on a personal level as well, which you and Josh obviously do. But I also think that I like seeing guys fight when they hate each other. I mean, period. It's
be eager to give him another title shot.
So you're gonna say that Fitch is just gonna be a gatekeeper from now on, huh?
Not from now on. I mean, I didn't mean to make it sound that way. I just think that you know, with Shield coming over, he's obviously a more intriguing contender than Fitch is. And the way Kasha can talk up a fight, he's obviously...
It's just more fun. It just makes it more fun for me. And, you know, I mean, I agree with you, man. When we're practicing, when we're sparring, there's no smiling back and forth at each other. I mean, I know that when I hit you, you're not smiling at me saying, good job, Phil. So, you know, I want to see two guys that aren't necessarily good friends go at it. But, hey, listen, I'm not going to complain.
You know, more entertaining as well. So I think he has to take his turn until... You know, Kasha gets a shot, and then Shields gets a shot before Fitch can expect a title shot of his own.
So I think
so
I've
one
also.
More fight, I'd say.
Okay, so Nate, I think I've also heard. Actually, I've actually heard the AKA guys say this. I think in interviews was, I think like Kasha. I've seen you and Josh Thompson go at it again. I thought the second fight was great, and I want to see that thing again. So either way, you're a winner, Gil.
Hey, I'm cool with that.
All right. Okay, Nick Diaz, KJ News, main event of the evening. The reason we're there. The second fight, obviously, we know KJ won the first fight via, I guess, what would be called TKO because the doctor stopped it in between the first and the second. Fitch have a deal, right? If Koscheck beats GSP and defends the title, Fitch moves up a weight?
Yeah, Fitch said he would absolutely move up. He does not want to fight Koscheck. That seems to be completely out of the question. Those guys just do not want to fight each other. So if Koscheck wins the title and defends it one time, as long as he's got the belt.
Gil, your thoughts?
I believe it was just, we just started off, you know, from when that last fight ended. I mean, it was unfinished business. That first fight, you know, I feel like the tide was turning at the end of that first round. I mean, Nick was trying to force the shot a little bit more, and that's not Nick's style. So this second fight right here, man, it was great to see Nick come out strong, talking crap.
This is gonna, I think he's telling the truth. I think he will make the jump to 185.
That'd be kind of interesting. Interesting addition to that weight class.
I think you do good at any weight class. Rich is one of those guys to me is almost a pound for pound guy. And I mean, I think it's BS, dude. Like, I should get title shots after he's been in line for a title shot for a long time. And Interchico is slapping KJ in the face, making him miss a little bit, eating some punches, and letting KJ know it didn't hurt. But what a great fight! You know, I mean, I want to tip my hat to KJ for. He is an amazing boxer in stand-up, but it was also cool to see Nick Diaz outbox the supposed boxer who was lined up to fight Pacquiao and Mayweather. So, meaning or not, I mean, I think he deserved it over Dan Hardy. I don't know how Dan Hardy got a title shot over him or you know, any of these other guys. You know, I think that stuff shouldn't really matter. If Fitch is the number one contender, he's the number one contender.
So, Nate, let's talk a little bit more about UFC 121 here and the main event between Lesnar and Velasquez.
So it's really cool
I don't
that.
Know about that.
So it was cool to see, you know, Nick throw some power shots to make KJ miss and to play in that pocket, hit some really good body shots. But the same thing with KJ, man. I mean, he stood in there and stood strong, and it was great, man. But that first round, it was cool to see Nick slipping that right hand.
What do you think happens if Kane wins that fight? I mean, you got Junior Dos Santos waiting, right, who they're saying is in title contention, probably gets the next shot, but do they give Brock an immediate rematch?
You know, I'm not a fan of immediate rematches at all. I was not happy to see that Chael Sonnen got an immediate rematch just because I feel that it's kind of like you had your turn now. It's
KJ on his back and control him a little bit and he had him inside and out for a while, but you know, instead of finishing him, it seemed like he just wanted to talk a little bit of crap and light him up. So you know, it was a great fight, another great win for the Caesar Gracie fight team, and you know, I'm proud to call that guy a teammate too. And I mean, it just chalk up another win for that guy, man. That guy's on top of the world. I think the guy needs to be top 10 pound for pound
back of the line, even though in Charlton, since he did a very good job in the fight. So, you know, I don't think they give Brock an immediate rematch. I think Junior Dos Santos is an exciting, you know, fighter, and I think that he gets the next title shot. He's been knocking people silly. And I think Brock has to go back and win one more, and then he'll get another rematch for
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Nick's a great fighter. He's great everywhere. His stand-up's great. His ground game's great. I'll give KJ a lot of credit. So supposedly, right, Nick broke his jaw in the first round, I think. So to go another four rounds getting punched with a broken jaw, I mean, I'll give KJ credit. You know, he was fighting up a weight, technically. I mean, I don't know that he's truly a lightweight.
Dos Santos, however that turns out.
Interesting. So are they both coming into this thing healthy? Is there any anything to say otherwise?
I've heard from Lesnar in the media calls. He's always talked about how great his camp has gone, and Velasquez seems to be equally happy with his camp.
He's probably kind of in between, but
has he ever made 155?
I don't know. I think Elite XC was 160, right?
Yeah, I think he's always Mr. 160, and has always had catch weight, so.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Which, you know, begs the question: What do they do with that guy, or what does KJ do? Does he try to get down to 155 and make a run there, or does he stay up at 170?
I haven't heard anything about any injuries, any problems with their training camps. So I think both guys are going into this fight pretty much as good as they could have hoped.
And so, speaking of that, what about the size difference? I mean, you know, Brock obviously, when he was ill, lost a lot of weight, and I think, you know, Gil and I were just saying, I mean, I guess I wouldn't mind seeing KJ fight Paul Daly.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I'd also like maybe him to see him fight Josh Thompson, JT versus for KJ Nunes, you know, to see who gets to fight me. I think that sounds pretty interesting.
I think you just like to sit up and watch people earn the right to come get in the cage. Is that, I mean, are you getting on your high horse a little bit there? I think size will play a little bit of a factor in this fight. You know, has Brock said how big he's coming into this fight? Is he still at a position where the guy's cutting weight to make the fight, to make weight for heavy?
He's not. He said that he is walking around at like 265 now. He says the cut just wasn't healthy for him. So he's not.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna retire. You know, my neck's a little hurt. I'm gonna be a commentator from now on and just not defend my title.
Just retire on top. Is that what you're saying? You heard it here right?
I'm not quite on top yet, so I can't really pull that yet. You know what I mean? So I got a lot more to prove. But maybe I'm just trying not to fight Josh so soon, man. Because I got
gonna be as big as he came in against like the tour, or some other guys like when he fought Mir. So I think we're gonna expect him to come in at 265, but I don't think he's gonna have to really shed too much weight to get there. So he'll have the size advantage, but it might not be as significant as in some of his past fights.
Okay, so you may have heard a collective laugh.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everybody saw the first, second. It's a battle, man. That's a good fight. So I agree with you, though. It's so, you know, congratulations to our boy Nick Diaz on a great win, and we can't wait to see what comes next for that guy.
Exactly, man. I'm happy, man. The whole Strikeforce event was pretty dang good. I mean, Strikeforce has been doing a great job, and I'm proud to be a part of that organization.
When you said that Brock said the cut wasn't healthy, like, I don't feel bad for that guy having to drop some freaking weight to make heavyweight, right? Like,
No,
I remember in college wrestling, heavyweights would lose like 10 pounds just in a practice,
exactly.
And the lighter weight guys are, you know, sitting in the sauna with their freaking sauna suits on, struggling to drop
as well. And that was a great event. I mean, it's always fun and fighting in Northern Cali and San Jose right there. And, you know, that's NorCal's our hometown out here. And there's really good fighting out here. So it was a really good time, good show. I had a blast. Now.
All right. Well, I think since we did not get our first guest on, but we'll get him. I don't feel bad for Brock. I'm sorry.
No pity on those heavyweights. Sucking on popsicles on the way to the tournament. You know what I mean? Come on.
Seriously, poor Brock, that cut of 10 pounds, it's like 1% of your body weight, so unhealthy. But, all right, let's move on. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the WEC. There's been some news there lately that they're talking about, you know, what other time. I think we're going to go ahead and take a call. So we're going to do a segment every once in a while. By the way, you're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Phil Baldacci and Gilbert Melendez, if you're just tuning in. We're going to take a call from a caller. And so we're going to do a segment every once in a while called Ask a Pro, of course, Gilbert being the pro, and take questions from callers, guys interested in knowing people. What do they do with Jose Aldo? I mean, what's the latest there?
I mean, that's a good question. What do you do with the, you know, most dominant champion in the WEC or UFC, in my opinion. This guy's just running through people. So at this point, he seems to be, you know, at the top of his career right now. If he can get any better than this, that'd be
interesting. Well, I just said knowing some of Gil's techniques, how he trains, et cetera. So let's see if we can get somebody on the line here. Caller from 619, are you there?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, hello. You're on Scrap Pack Radio, and you got a question for Gilbert Melendez?
Yeah, hey, Gilbert and Phil. Thanks for having me on, guys. Incredible. So I think now's the time to really, you know, test him and put on some big fights. Dana White said that he would, you know, like to see him in the UFC maybe sometime soon. And, of course, Aldo jumping up to the lightweight division in the WEC is not out of the question either. I would expect one of those two scenarios to play out. Pretty much, hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Who are we speaking to, by the way?
My name is Andres Salas. I'm from Southern California. I'm a huge fan of Gilbert. You know, I'm a Latino guy out here, and trying to get into MMA. And I'm 23 years old. I go to school. I have a full-time job. I'm a waiter and whatnot. You know, sometime soon. I mean, I guess whoever wins. I guess Josh Grisby is really only other featherweight right now that you can really give much of a case for to fight Aldo. So
does he make much of a case though? I mean, yeah. I've seen Grisby.
No one makes a case against Aldo. I don't
yeah,
think there's a lightweight
the 145 pound division.
The question is because I know you. I mean, you've been fighting for a long time, and I really want to become a fighter. You know, you're one of the guys I look up to. What can I do? I mean, I don't have much money. I can't afford a lot of gyms. I mean, I want to train and get as much training as I can, but I also have like bills to pay and stuff, you know. So, like, can you recommend any?
So,
I think the 145 pound division is, you know, just kind of falling apart a little bit right now. I mean, Jose Aldo's dominant, but I see Manny Gamberian step in there. It just looked like he lost before he walked in there. Like, no one wants to fight Aldo. I'm really not one for someone jumping up a weight class and doing that right out the gate, but this guy has been dominant, and I really would like to see him, you know, fight some 155ers. I could see him being this.
What advice do you have for this guy? I mean, this thing, a lot of young guys trying to get into the sport. Gyms are expensive, gear's expensive, traveling's expensive. What advice do you have for this guy?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough out there, and you know, and what you want to do is, you know, I mean, first of all, the internet's a great source for technique. So if you want to learn something, you know, you can just WEC lightweight champ. I think definitely, man. So I props to that guy right there.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think that, I mean, he basically, Uriah Faber basically left the division because he didn't want to have to deal with Jose Aldo against, I mean, that's how it looked after that fight. And everyone's walking into the cage with their head held down.
YouTube, Google some stuff, Google some fights, Google my fights and really try to break it down. But you can't do it alone, man. So you need to fight a friend with the same ambition as you, you know, that wants to get good at fighting, that really wants it as much as you, someone that'll be your partner so you can try your moves on each other, maybe hold pads for each other, you know, and have a partner to help you excel, man. That's what I usually tell people.
Well, I have all the respect for Uriah Faber, but, I mean, at this point, who wants to fight Jose Aldo? I mean, it's just not I just don't see how you benefit at all. At this point, I mean, I'm not sure if anyone seems as unbeatable as he does.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, man, he presents a dilemma, so.
We really don't got the money for it, man. You need to find that training partner to go. And things you could do on your own, by yourself, you can always shadow box, you can always shadow wrestle, you can always, you know, use your mind to replicate fights and stuff and do stuff like that. So, you know, if there's a will, there's a way out there, Andreas. So, I mean, keep it up, man. You know, stay in the zone and good luck to you.
And I'd like to see him on move to the UFC. So, all right, Nate, man, we appreciate you joining us and giving us a quick rundown. We're gonna kind of wrap things up here. So, thanks for joining us. Make sure you guys check out heavy.com for all the latest news. Thanks a lot, Nate.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, have a good one.
Later, Nate.
Okay, so just so thanks. Yeah.
Cool, man. Thank you very much. And my other question was, you know, I go to work and I go to school too, but like I want to know, like, how can I, you know, divide my time into? Do you have like any suggestions? I do more wrestling, more striking, and now you're telling me to, you know, look it up and maybe get a partner. But is there some way where I can just like divide my time correctly.
And, again, thanks to the guys over at Heavy.com. Make sure you're going out there and checking it out. You're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Gil Melendez and Phil Baldacci, and you will be able to download this via podcast from Heavy.com. So if you missed any of the show, go out there and check it out. I got to say, I got to jump in here because I mean,
it's hard. I'm still trying to figure out how to divide my time correctly. But, I mean, hey, man, right now, if you can just you know, find something you like, if you like wrestling more, or you like jiu-jitsu more, or you like stand-up more, I would say, you know, find yourself a base. You know, find yourself a base first before you start worrying about dividing your time. If you feel like
Twitter as we go, like Twitter, the new – not the new big thing, but so apparently Bjorn Rebney is on MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani and said he would do Alvarez Melendez in San Jose on Showtime, whatever, he just wants to do it.
I think that's great. I think we made some noise. You know, you want to learn wrestling one day, stand up one day, and jiu-jitsu another day. You're not going to pick it up. So just find what you like more. Like, if your favorite fighter is someone like, you know, like Josh Koscheck, I'd say, you know, do your wrestling first. If your favorite fighter is someone like Wanderlei Silva, then focus on your stand-up first and learn that and let everything come. But, you know, focus on one aspect of the sport. We're making this happen. Let's do it. Let's make it happen, baby. And, I mean, if this is what it takes, this is what it takes, baby. Thank you very much. I accept the challenge. Let's do it.
I agree. All right. Thanks to Bjorn Rebney. I mean, stepping up, right? Like, let's, you know, I think that's cool that they're willing to come to Strikeforce, do it on your home turf. So let's just go ahead and give the open invitation.
And then take it from there.
All right. Gil, I think we may have lost you. I'm getting a message that we may have lost your connection. So hang on for us one sec, everybody. I think you're good, Gil. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you guys hear me out there?
All right. Keep going, Gil.
Yeah, so, you know, like I was saying,
to Bjorn and Eddie, you know, we'll have a show anytime you guys have the free time. We understand Eddie's got his fight coming up, and the guy's probably busy. It's in his hometown. He's got media responsibilities and everything, so he couldn't make this show. But we'll go ahead, put together a Scrap Pack Radio show, and we'll talk it out. I mean, I think that the fans would want to hear you two talk about a potential scrap.
You know, don't try to master everything. You know, try to figure out what your base is for MMA when you get into it. You know, so figure out if you want to be a wrestler base, a stand-up base guy, or a grappling base guy, and focus on that. And then from there, you can take it to the next level, fill in the pieces of the puzzle. But as of now, bro, just look online and find that training partner for you before you even start worrying about that.
All right, man.
Let's do it.
All right, so with that, Ariel, Gil called you an instigator in a joking manner, so it's okay. All right.
I'm not sure if I did. No, I'm just kidding, dude. No, Ariel's a good guy. He's all right, man. He's not too bad. You know, it's just sometimes you got to talk man to man and get things clear right there. And I don't need to.
Thank you very much, Gilbert, and Phil, for your time. And good luck on your next fight, Gilbert. We look forward to seeing you again, man.
Hey, thanks, bro.
All right, thanks for calling in, buddy. All right. Sorry to everybody for the technical difficulties. We're working that stuff out, and I promise next time we'll be a little bit better. So once again, you're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Phil Baldacci and Gilbert Melendez live from El Nino Training Center.
Mediator.
All right. So listen, we're gonna kind of wrap things up here. But first, what we're gonna do is we're gonna run through the betting odds for UFC 121. So we here at El Nino Training Center and all the members of Scrap Pack like to lay a little money down every once in a while on some of these fights. So we thought we'd let the fans know, you know, what the latest odds are and what our thoughts are on laying some money down on these fights. All right. So we're gonna take a question from Josh in the South Bay here in the Bay Area. He says, Gil, I see a lot of guys gassing out, a lot of guys with not good cardio fighting. How do you split your time, or how do you know how to differentiate between how much weight training you should be doing and how much cardio? So, Gil, you wanna kind of run through, or you want me to do that?
Yeah, definitely. We got Brendan Schwab plus 155 against Gabriel Gonzaga, who's minus 190 right here. I think I'd save my money and not really put a bet on this fight right here. What do you think, Philly?
Yeah, I'm not really seeing. I mean, I think Gonzaga's going to win it. I don't like the minus 190, though, so I would pass on that one.
I mean, that's a difficult thing, you know. First of all, you know, cardio is – there's no secret about cardio. I mean, everyone has it in them. You know, everyone has cardio and lugs in them, and it's up to you how hard you want to push to take that cardio to the next level. But, You know, I do have a mixture of running, lifting, and other kinds of things to help
me with you.
Me too.
All
me
right.
too. And next we got Tito Ortiz plus 120, Matt Hamill minus 150. You know what, man? I'm a Tito Ortiz fan, so I'm going to lay a little bit of money on Tito, even though I'm choosing Matt Hamill, just because I think the odds are all right. You know, I had him at plus 130. So, you know, just to lay a little bit down, just so I can cheer behind him a little bit, I'm going to put a little bit of money on Tito just for the endurance. But, you know, sometimes I run for a long time at a slower pace. Sometimes I run at a short time at a high pace. And sometimes I run, you know, I simulate the fight and try to run it as hard as I could and keep that monster pace. And the same with my lifting. You know, I lift a little bit heavier in the off season, and then I lift a little bit lighter. I lift a little bit more higher reps and more muscle endurance when it gets closer to time.
All right. I actually agree with you here. I think Hamill wins that fight. But at plus 120, I mean, I think the big brothered factor is enough to lay some money down. You just never know. I mean, Tito might come out here and be like, no way you're getting one up on me, dude. I'm going to big brother you. And so, you know, make a nice little chunk of change. I mean, I'm not going to put the house on it, but I'll put a little bit of money down on Tito.
Fight. So, you know, it just you start, you prep yourself before the fight, and you start trying to replicate the fights with your lifting and your running. So, you know, if I fight 15 minutes, you know, I want to do 15, you know, of the hard, maybe 20-minute circuit of running, and the same with lifting, you know, and by the time I get to fight time. But, you know, farther out of my fight, I'm lifting a little heavier for a longer
on at those odds.
And then next, we got Diego Sanchez plus 100 and Paulo Thiago minus 130. Paulo Thiago being the favorite here, Diego Sanchez being even. But, you know, I think Diego's a good bet, man. I put not my whole house on it, but I put a little bit of money on him as well, man. I think he's going to pull it off, and he might let you double up your money time and running a little longer, cruising it for a longer time. So, I mean, it's a difficult thing, but everybody's body's different, and that's what works for my body.
Yeah, we, you know, here at El Nino Training Center, we actually have a cardio coach, Dave Nader, who helps us out quite a bit. I mean, you know, I think a lot of it, Gil, also depends on just kind of what your body type is. You know, so a lot of guys are just strong naturally. Yeah, you know, I picked Thiago, so I'm staying away from that one. I don't see any action on that I like, to be honest with you.
All right, well, then let's move on. We got Martin Kattman plus 175, Jake Shields minus 220. I mean, Jake Shields has made my boys a lot of money. He made people a lot of money. I mean, people always want to bet against him or people doubt him, but
a lot of guys naturally have good cardio. I mean, I personally don't spend that much time lifting weights anymore as I started to get older, because I just felt like it wasn't as functional for MMA, wasn't as functional for jiu-jitsu. And, you know, they say bad cardio makes a coward of us all, right? So I think there's nothing quite like that feeling in a fight or sparring or when you're rolling or wrestling when you're not.
Man, I mean, he hasn't lost in 6-7 years. If you have big money to spend and you want to make a good percentage, dude, I'd put some big money on Jake and you know, and make half of it back.
Yeah, I mean, minus 220, like, I have every confidence Jake wins this fight. So when I get home, I'll be going through MMA Hot Stuff's wallet and grabbing every loose dollar she's got, and you know that other guy is, and you know he's about to break, right?
That's the best film in the world, man, just that breaking point. I've been in a couple fights where I've just seen the guy's eyes, man, and I just know, oh, he's broke. And then, you know, something I learned, like I said, in my high school wrestling team, down in high school, we say break them and take them, you know, and I think that's one of the mottos I still live by out here.
And we'll be collecting our money and putting it down on Shields. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not going to call anything a lock. And we should tell the listeners, hey, bet at your own peril. Like, this is just our opinion here. But, I feel really comfortable laying some cash down on Jake on this side. I just don't see Kamen winning it. So I'm putting money down on Jake.
And the scrap pack, that's our style, man. We want to break you and take you and come at you, and that's our fighting style.
And cardio is kind of one of those things, right, where if you let it go too much, I mean, it takes a lot of work to get it up there where you want it for a 3 or 5-round fight, but it doesn't take much time for it to go away, does it?
Dude, it's ridiculous, man. I'm training 3 months for a fight. The final thing we got is Cain Velasquez minus 105 and Brock Lesnar minus 125. I mean, hey, man, this one I don't even need a bet to get excited for. I think I'll save my money and just let these two go at it. I mean, they're both the favorites in this fight right here. So you know, I think I think you can save your money right here and just sit back and enjoy this one. No money necessary to make this one exciting. Take 1 week off, have a little bit of bad food, have some beers, have a good time, and they step on the mat and then just disappear. So, I mean, you know, you just got to stay on that stuff year round, you know. And if you, you know, you got to keep running, you got to keep working out. And I mean, there's really no off season on the sport, and you know, that's how we roll out here, man. It's a year round thing for us.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, those are pretty even odds, and it's kind of a toss-up. I mean, I think Kane wins this fight. I think he's got more ways to win it, but I'm not laying 105 to win 100 on that. Just, you know, Brock, hey, man, I thought Carwin was going to win that fight, and, you know, I have a tough time betting against Brock, but I wouldn't bet against Kane either. So, okay, well, thanks, everybody, for the thanks for the call. Thanks for the Twitter messages and the emails. We'll be doing more of these sessions in other shows, so we'll be taking more calls, more questions from listeners for Gil. But right now, we got a very special guest. We're going to move on and start talking about UFC 121, and I'm passing on that one, too. Not too exciting, but I'm passing. So, all right, with that, folks, the Scrap Pack team is showing up to the gym, and we're going to get our training on here pretty soon. Gil, what are we doing today? I mean, usually on Mondays we do some sprawl and brawl. What are we going to be doing?
Definitely, man. Monday mornings we like to start off our week with some hard sprawl.
Going to welcome our guest, Jake Shields. Jake, are you there?
Yeah, what's going on? How's it going? Still?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Just waking up, so I'm trying not to sound too sleepy, but what are you guys up to?
What's up, Jacob?
It's just so kind of weird going on the radio show. People I know.
Isn't it funny,
anyways,
bro?
I'll try
we're here to pump you up, though, but man, we're all going to gear up for some MMA sparring, some sprawl and brawl, and we're all going to meet on the mat. But before we get out of here, man, I just want to give a couple shout-outs to people that really helped me out there. Shout-out to FDM, to Show Your Role, to Vita, to Throne, Metal Militia, Scrap Pack, Fairtex. I mean, I want to say what's up to my boy Eric Salazar. Thank all the listeners out there for joining in. If you ever want to come train with the Scrap Pack,
all right.
Yeah, no, it's all about you this morning, Jake. I mean, I didn't realize
awesome.
11:15 would be too early for you.
Did you get your field coffee?
I've not got my coffee yet. I woke up too late.
Oh. So are we gonna see Phil's coffee on your shorts, Jake? I mean, you spend a lot of time and a lot of money at Phil's Coffee. It seems like.
Actually,
in the training center, call us at 415-859-9885, and also come check out GilbertMelendez.com or, you know, for any more info out there. Thank you guys all for listening, man. You know, like I said, we put this together to just reach out to our listeners, our fans, or anyone who's curious just to see what we're about. You know what I mean? We're trying to make things happen for ourselves here and make some noise out.
Actually, I'm sponsors. I don't pay any money there. During the countdown, I'm going to see those coffee.
Free coffee. It's like that Seinfeld.
I'm their first sponsored athlete. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The way I drink it adds up.
All right.
Yeah, you don't see Jake without his cup of coffee, man. I mean, it's fair to say that you're addicted to it. So much respect to everybody in the MMA world. We love you guys all. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
All right, thanks, everybody. And all those listeners that called in, sorry we didn't get to everybody today, but we'll be having more shows. Pay attention to Scrap Pack Radio on Twitter, at Scrap Pack Radio. Email us at scrappackradio@gmail.com with any questions. But we'll be
coffee, Jake?
Yeah, I'll admit I have an addiction. That's my only addiction, I think. my main addiction.
Right. I mean, one thing you always see when you're training with Jake is generally he walks into the gym with a coffee cup with a green straw sticking out of it. I don't know how you drink that stuff, right?
I've got to fuel my caffeine habit. Hey, this is another fighter.
Pretty soon with dates and times for the next show, topics and guests, and we'll be coming to you hopefully more often than not. So thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Let's go train, Gil.
Let's do it, baby.
Chuck Liddell, always drink coffee before. I had Rich out from Ultimate Fighter. He's the biggest coffee addict to me, so that was pretty awesome. I felt good about my addiction. We train, grab coffee, train again, grab some more coffee.
It's a pretty harmless addiction, so I think you're okay. We won't bust you up about it.
And obviously champions are drinking coffee, man.
Exactly. All right. So Jake,
Chuck Liddell had to have it back when I met him. And yeah, he used the straw and all. I used to make fun of him with the straw. I thought Chuck doing it. I was like, sweet, I can keep doing it.
Do you think they'll let you walk to the cage with your coffee? I mean, would you take your Phil's coffee with your green straw out to the cage?
I would do that, but unfortunately, I don't think the commission will allow it. I have to make you drink the coffee before you go backstage. So for me, that's kind of tough. I drink my caffeine right before I train, but I have to get a little early before I fight.
Yeah, all right. Well, so speaking of fighting, speaking of the cage, you're coming up this Saturday on your UFC debut against Martin Kamen. Long time coming for you to move over to the UFC, right, Jake?
Yeah, you know, I've been fighting for, you know, like pretty much 11 years now. So it's been a long time coming, you know. Fought a lot of tough fighters and never in the UFC, so it's nice to finally make the jump to the big show, you know. Even though I've been fighting a lot of the same people, you just get more recognition for it in the UFC. So still feeling
right.
Good.
So give us your thoughts on Kamen. I mean, he's your first fight in the UFC. He's a guy that, you know, previous to you, they were talking about him. You know, he's up there. He's been in title contention talks. What are your thoughts on fighting Kamen right out of the gate?
You know, I think he's a well-rounded, tough fighter, but he's someone that I'm planning to go out there and beat up. You don't want to go out there and run right through him and get that title shot. But that doesn't mean I'm looking past him. You know, I think he's a tough guy, and I've trained really hard for this, and you guys know I'm in the gym training every day. I don't take them lightly. So it's a tough fight, but someone I plan on beating.
Yeah, so speaking of training every day, Gilbert was telling me last night, I guess you hit him pretty hard the other day, dude. I think you gave him a bloody nose.
Yeah.
I hear a chuckle.
Gil cheap shots me. He cheap shots me. So I take him down and start punching him really hard. And then he's just like, oh, you hit me too hard. After he busted me, wearing the small gloves, he busted my nose. I'm sitting there bleeding, and goes back like, I'm an asshole for giving him a bloody nose.
This is a common debate Jake and I have. Who hit who hard first? And I always feel like it's Jake. Jake always feels like it's me. I don't think people understand how intense it gets in our training room. You know what I mean? I mean,
we can see who throws the first hard shot.
Yeah, well, they always say, right, only hit somebody as hard as you want to be hit back, but it's kind of like the chicken
exactly.
or the egg, which comes first.
I think that's the problem. Yeah, that's kind of always the rule of the gym, hit someone as hard as you want to get hit, and then somehow me and Gil always escalate.
So did you guys hug and make
one of us go over to get hit too hard?
Hell
no.
I'm still pissed off this guy. Hey, man.
David's first buddy knows.
I kind of wanted to let the fans in a little bit more. I mean, can you tell them how intense it is, our training? Like, I mean, and let them know how we do it out here. I mean, you know, we're no joke. You know what I mean? Just kind of tell them about some of our sparring sessions.
Yeah, you know, it seems normal to us, but whenever new fighters come out, like, you know, pros from all kinds of big gyms will, like, come out and be like, you guys are crazy. Never realized that, but I guess our training, you know, we train a little harder than most people. We go at it pretty good, you know. We're all good friends, but when we spar, we beat the crap out of each other. I've had quite a few players come in and just be like, you guys are crazy.
Exactly, man. And I think you lead by example, bro. Like, I mean, you've installed that in my head. Like, I don't know any other way to train. And you kind of put that out there. I don't know if everyone's seen, but Jake was on the cover of Fight magazine, and this is one of the quotes I read right here. It said, "If I quit between a round, how am I going to come back and face my team? It's just not gonna. This is not something I can do." I mean, that's something you kind of taught us, man. Like, we do not have the balls to quit. You know what I mean? And
It's just kind of the way the team is, you know, all of us with, you know, Nick and Nate as well, of course. It's just kind of the mentality. It's just kind of how, you know, kind of how it was when we came up. We were always really hard, battling each other, and it was always the mentality of our gym is you just don't quit and can't come out there and do that. I think it's just, you know, I think we were all naturally tough people, and we all made each other a lot tougher, too, by having that mindset.
Heck yeah, bro. And speaking of some stuff, did you see the Dan Hardy and Carlos Condit fight?
Yeah, that was a pretty good fight. They were going at it. That was nice. People threw it with hooks at once, and Hardy went down.
Now, you have some experience with Condit, right, Jake?
Yeah, I fought him back. I'm not sure when that was, the Rumble of the Rock. It was maybe 4 years ago or something. Beat him after Okami. It was a tough night.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think he kind of forgets that you fought Okami for 15 minutes before you fought him because he kind of called you out. And, you know, he had a two-minute battle with Frank Trigg, and then he fought you for 15 minutes. And we just heard him call you out, man. And we're just thinking, man, that might be a little bit quick to be calling out Jake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's disrespectful. I think he's just trying, you know, everyone wants me now. They hear that I'm probably next line for a title shot if I win. So everyone's just trying to squeezed away and then get that title shot. You know, I can't blame him, but yeah, I think, you know, I don't think it'll go too well if he fought me again. Like I said, you know, dominated him the first time, and that was after a 15-minute war with Akami. I think things would go a lot different this time. But you know, hey, he's a good fighter, just trying to get his way in there, weasel away a title shot. Who can blame him, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I think Gil and I may have different opinions on that than you. But hey, so Jake, it's your first fight back at 170 pounds after being at 185 for a little while, coming off your win against Hendo, obviously. What's the training been like, and what are your feelings on going back down to 170? It seems like it's probably more of your natural weight, but you certainly packed on some weight to fight up at 185. So what's it been like to get your body back down to 170?
So it hasn't been too bad. You know, I feel great at this weight. It's more my natural weight. I feel faster, quicker, better shape. The only thing is I am a little hungry now that it's the last of the dieting week. But it mean, I guess. But, yeah, I've been dieting pretty hard the last like week or two, but my weight's pretty much down, you know, 185 now, and I'm ready to go in there and fight and get this thing over with. Great weight.
I'm going to comment on that a little bit. I think Jake at 170s is faster, more relentless, and still strong as hell. So, I mean, I think he's definitely the number two 170 pound in the world and coming for the number one spot right there.
I don't know. I mean, it's like which is the lesser of two evils, right? You've got the quicker, faster Jake, or you've got the bigger, stronger Jake that's on top of you that you can't get off you. Right, I mean, I got to tell you, like, I don't feel bad for Cam and Gil. Gil and I were talking about this the other day. Like, Gil went through 6-8 weeks of your training camp. Cameron's only got to deal with 15 minutes max.
Yeah. Don't feel bad, Cameron. Yeah. It's only 15 minutes.
Yeah. Guy's got nothing to complain about.
Hopefully not 15 minutes, but...
Yeah, we'll be going into our predictions a little bit later, so the fans will be able to hear what Gil and I both think about how this fight's going to go. But I agree with you. So,
let's touch on something else, man. I mean, Jake Shields ranked number two in the world, but ranked number one in the world in San Francisco for ladies, man. So, Jake, man, you're known to be loved by all the ladies out here. I mean, how do you do, man?
I don't know. It's a bunch of false rumors, I think.
People always try to call me out on that nowadays.
I don't know. All false. No proof, right?
Okay, so true or false question, Jake. Did you rush a sorority?
Not 100% true. I kind of just got, you know, dragged in.
Oh, so somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle.
It's a great, you know, most things you hear, it's like, you know, there's two sides to every story. It's usually somewhere in the middle. So it's like half true.
Oh, those half-truths, right. There's a lot of those half-truths out there. All right, Jake.
Exactly. I don't mean to be bad. I'm sorry, you know, having a little fun. Just looking for the right girl. And just so far, I haven't found her.
All right, I guess
it just comes easily to me.
Just okay. Well, we'll leave that topic alone for next time. But Jake, we'll let you go. You probably want to get another nap in right before the rest of your day starts. Or do you need
I'm
to make your way over
to
Phil's
coffee?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm ready to get my Phil's. Okay, I'll give them another plug. Repeat your free coffee.
Where is Phil's coffee? Why don't you let people that are San Francisco locals know where Phil's coffee is, Jake?
Well, there's a few of them, but the one I'm going to is over on Fourth and Berry. There's like five or six of them. So, yeah, the San Francisco people listening to like coffee should definitely try it. I'm just not saying that because they sponsor me. They make some damn good coffee.
All right. Well, I know you've been drinking that stuff for a long time.
I know my coffee, obviously.
Yeah.
See you guys at the gym tonight.
Obviously.
Training,
all right.
Yeah, definitely. Right on, Jake, man. Thanks so much, bro. You've been a freaking leader for us all. We'll be there, bro. We'll be here, man.
All right. I'll come in around 7:30 or something. All right. Bye.
All right. See you, bro. So there it is, man. Jake Shields, the man. My coach, my buddy, my friend. He's going to be fighting Catman. Man, just, you know, glad to have him on here as our first guest ever. Really cool dude, right? And, you know, so going into this stuff, should we start talking about these UFC fights or what?
Yeah, I mean, let's go down this card, and there's some good fights on this card. So let's give the fans your perspective on and my perspective on how we think this whole thing's going to shake out. So let's start. I think the first fight of the night there is Brendan Schaub against Gabriel Gonzaga. So Schaub obviously coming off the Ultimate Fighter. He lost in the finale to Roy Nelson via KO, but He's 6-1, all of his fights coming by TKO, all of his wins by TKO, I should say, coming off a TKO win over Chris Tuchuser. I know I mispronounced that one, but sorry, Chris. But back in July, and of course, Gonzaga sporting an 11-5 record. His last fight was back in March, and he had a TKO loss to Junior Dos Santos, who he knows in line for a title shot. So, Gil, heavyweight battle. A lot of TKOs going around either way here. What do you think?
I mean, both of these guys have never been to a decision. They've either TKO'd someone or got TKO. It looks like Gonzaga here has a little bit more of the experience, and he's fought a lot of talent. The biggest talent I see that, Brandon has faced is Roy Nelson, and we saw how that ended. But I did see that fight, and Brandon was doing a really great job, and, you know, Roy's just a professional out there. You know, and countered him beautiful. And Gonzaga, man, I seen him knock out Mirko Krokop. So, I mean, this guy's a really tough guy. I think it's going to be a great matchup. But if Gonzaga comes prepared, like I've seen him before, I think, you know, his experience and his size is going to play a big difference in here. So I'm going to go with Gonzaga.
Interesting. Okay. I think Gonzaga, I think you're right, he's got the experience. He's a big, scary dude, man. Brendan Schaub's obviously a big dude as well, but I don't know, something scares me when Gonzaga walks out. He's scary. But,
yeah.
I think he needs this win. I mean, he's had some disappointing performances. You know, he got knocked out by Carwin. He got TKO'd by Junior Dos Santos. I mean, he's kind of been up there fighting contenders, but just never been able to pull it out. I mean, we know he's got the talent and the skill. He's a beast on his feet. He's a beast on the ground. I think he just needs to put it together. But I think his back's against the wall right now. I think he's got to win this fight. And I think he's just got the experience, and when he wants to, if he puts it all together, he can win. So I agree, man. I think somebody's getting TKO'd, but
someone's going down in this fight. That's what's good.
Somebody is definitely getting TKO'd. So I'm going to agree with you here. I think Gonzaga's going to win this one. So next up, Tito Ortiz against Matt Hamill. Student versus pupil, if you will, as we know that Hamill was on Tito's team, season 3, I think it was, of The Ultimate Fighter. So this is an interesting one. I mean, you know, Gil, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm looking here, and I see Matt Hamill's 9-2, but I really think he's 9-1. I think he totally got ripped off against Bisping back in the days out there in the UK. And Tito Ortiz is a tough guy, man, but he hasn't been on much lately. I'm going to go ahead and say right out the gate, Matt Hamill, but I'm going to tell you why. You know, I think Hamill's a little hungry. I mean, he's coming forward. He's a really good wrestler, and he's a tough dude, and he's really been impressive to me. I think he gets better every time. The only thing I am a little scared of is, for some reason, against Rick Franklin, he just got pummeled against, and it just seemed like he got big brothered a little. And I think that's one thing that Tito Ortiz has. And if Tito Ortiz can come out here and try to big brother him since he's been his coach, you know, it might play to his advantage. But just the way, you know, I mean, Tito's one of my heroes. He's inspired me to get in this sport. So it's hard for me to choose Hamill over Tito because I'm always, you know, I'm usually always for Tito. But the way Tito's performed his last performance, I don't see the old fire of him coming in fearless with punches and blasting double legs. And in my heart I'm going for him, but I'm going to have to say I think Matt Hamill's going to win, and I think he's going to take it to him and win a unanimous decision.
Okay, interesting. I like the big brothered comment, right? Like, you can never win a fight against you. You don't have a big brother, though.
Yeah, his name is Jake freaking Shields, dude, and that's my big brother, and he just pummels me all the time. And it sucks, man. Like, I going into training with him, it's a little bit of a mental battle knowing that I'm about to get my butt kicked for 15 to 25 minutes, and you know, some days I can overcome it and do a little good, but it does have that edge, and it's called the big brother, it's called the big brother thing.
No, I know that all too well. I got a big brother 2 years older, and you just, like, no matter, even when I was wrestling and he wasn't, dude, it's just, there's something about that. You just can't beat up your big brother. It's just, I think it's physically, it's like a law of the universe. But anyway, I'm going to have to agree with you again. I mean, here, a little-known fact, when I first started watching, got into MMA, and we were watching Season 3 of Ultimate Fighter, Tito Ortiz was MMA Hot Stuff's favorite fighter at the time. I may not be the truth now, but at the time, Tito Ortiz was her favorite. But I agree with you, man. I think Hamill's a bruiser. I don't think that Tito has gotten much better with his stand-up. I mean, his last fight was Forrest Griffin back in November of 2009. He lost a decision. His last legit opponent and legit performance, I think, was against Rashad, and as we know, that was a draw. Now, granted, he could have won that fight probably since he got a point deducted for grabbing the cage, but it's just been a while since he fought a quality opponent. He's coming off injuries. It seems like he's banged up a lot. I don't think his stand-up's improved that much. I think he's going to be desperate to get to the fight to the ground because I think Hamill's going to be beating him up on his feet. And we know Hamill's got good stand-up. I mean, it might not be crisp and beautiful, but, he can put a hurting on people. He put a hurting on Mark Munoz, and he'll go out there and bang with anybody. So I think what's going to happen is he's going to be bullying Tito around. Tito's going to be desperate to get this thing to the ground and try and get some of his ground and pound in, but I don't think he's going to be able to get Hamill to the ground. I think Hamill's probably too big, too strong. He's got too much of a wrestling background, too good of a sprawl, and I think Tito's going to gas, and I think Hamill's going to get a TKO in the second round.
I agree, man. I mean, second round, I'm not too sure, but I do think that you're right, man. Hamill's a guy that walks forward, and he is like a bulldozer, and he is a bruiser, and he'll be coming forward, and he's willing to get hit. And yeah, Tito's fought guys like Rashad recently, Forrest, and Machida, guys who kind of sat back a little bit more and not really come forward and walk forward. And that's one thing I do like about Matt Hamill. He'll walk you down and just keep punching you. And I think that might have posed some threat to Tito right there. So, that should be like one of the fights of the night, though, I think, you know.
I agree. I mean, I think hopefully Hamill heard the outrageous comment that Tito made about him. And is just going to come in and put a fucking beating on him. I mean, it was just pretty ridiculous what Tito said. I don't know if he's just trying to hype the fight because he's not the main event or the co-main event. I don't know if he's just trying to stir the pot, but it was pretty outrageous and ridiculous. So, anyway, I think we're both on the same page with this one. I think it's Hamill's
fight. Come on, Tito, I love you, bro. Why do you have to say that?
Yeah, that's just wrong. I mean, there's certain stuff you can say, but that was pretty wrong. So, anyway, all right, next fight up, we got Paulo Thiago and a guy you've trained with before, Diego Sanchez, the Nightmare, making, I think, his second fight back at 170 pounds. Paulo Thiago's coming off a loss to Martin Campman back in June of this year. He's got some wins over Koscheck. We all saw that one. We'll get your thoughts on that. He's beat Swick. Obviously Diego's been between 170 and 155. You know, he had a title shot at 155, but he's beaten guys like Guida and Stevenson and Joe Riggs and Carl Parisian. So apparently Diego is back in Albuquerque training with Greg Jackson. So, Gil, how do you break this one down?
Well, I'm going to say the W is going to go to Diego Sanchez. And let me tell you why. I mean, I think these guys are both pretty good strikers, you know, really, really good grapplers. But the thing Diego has to me is he's a better wrestler, and he's more aggressive. And, I mean, if this is the Diego Sanchez that trains at, that Greg Jackson and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the same Diego Sanchez that I've sparred, I see him actually upsetting a lot of people. I mean, in the odds right now, it seems like Paulo Thiago is the favorite. But I think, Diego's going to be able to be more relentless and come forward and make the fight happen and be the aggressor, and that's what's going to make the difference. But, Paulo Thiago, he knocked out Josh Koscheck, but, I mean, he was getting – I don't really see as much luck in MMA, but if there was luck, that was kind of a luck to me. I mean, Koscheck was kind of socking him up, and then he just got that lucky uppercut, which buckled Koscheck. Koscheck was really up, but the ref jumped in, I think, prematurely right there. He also lost to Catman. I saw him get taken down pretty easy, and, I mean, he didn't tap out Catman. He's supposed to be the better jiu-jitsu guy, and Catman almost jiu-jitsu'd him up a little. I mean, I think this guy had a lot of hype out the gate, but I never really kind of jumped on that. And I believe the hype with Diego Sanchez. I think he's a stud. He didn't look the best his last fight, but I don't think he was also training with Greg Jackson at the time. And I think he knows he has to deliver in this fight, and I think he will, man. What do you think, Philly?
I'm going to disagree with you, Gil.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, then, okay. Then I'll punch you in the face later and tell you I'm right. No, I'm kidding. So, no, I actually will punch you in the face when we spar later. Here's the thing. Diego, his last fight against Hathaway, I was not impressed. I kind of felt like since he went down to 155, he's not the same at 170. I think he's always been kind of a small 70-pounder. But now I think he's just not there. I mean, hopefully the guy's put on a little bit of size. But I just think Thiago coming off the loss is going to be able to keep the fight on his feet if he wants. I don't know if he'll be able to get Diego down, but I think Diego will want to get it down, and I think Thiago will have an advantage there. You know, I'm just not sold on Diego Sanchez coming back up to 170 yet. I'm not sold on whether or not he's back to his old form. I mean, after that BJ fight, I don't know, man. I just have a feeling. I think Paulo Thiago is going to win this one, and Diego Sanchez is going to have a decision to make about what the heck that guy does, if he stays up at 170 or he goes back down to 155. Don't get me wrong, he's an exciting fighter to watch. I think Thiago's a little bit better than you're giving him credit for, man. I mean, I like what Joe Rogan says. I mean, I don't think there is such thing as a lucky punch, right? I mean, it's not like he just closed his eyes and swung that fist and was hoping he hit him.
I actually think that's what happened.
Okay. Well, we'll go watch the replay, see if his eyes
watch that replay, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. He closed his eyes and threw an uppercut. No, I mean, he's a great fighter. I think he's a tough guy, but but yeah, man, I really think they're kind of equally matched, but what's going to make the difference is Diego's aggression and his heart, and I think, you know, it's not going to be an act. He's going to come out there ready. I mean, you're right. There's a lot on the line for Diego on this, and hopefully he recognizes that and hopefully he can deliver.
All right, well, our first disagreement so far, and just so the fans know, anybody tuning in, you're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Gilbert Melendez and Phil Baldacci, and we are breaking down the UFC 121 card. Gil and I will be keeping track of our picks so that in later episodes we can talk trash to each other about who's the better of the analysts, if you will. So I'm picking Paulo Thiago, you're picking Diego. We'll see what plays out with that. We'll both be there to watch it live anyway. So next fight up is one near and dear to our heart, Jake Shields against Martin Kampmann. I mean, should we give it – let's go ahead and make our picks, and then we'll let the fans know what they can expect.
All right. I'm going to say Jake Shields by whatever the hell he wants. No, I mean, you know, we're biased here, bro. I mean, Jake, dude, Jake's on fire. I mean, how could anyone doubt him after what he did to Dan Henderson? You know what I mean? I mean, but don't feel bad, Dan. You know, this happens to everybody. This happens to me in practice. I mean, it was no secret to me that Jake would just mount someone like Dan and or anyone in this world and just do what they want with them. So, I mean, I think Jake is just an improved striker, an amazing wrestler. I mean, I've been sparring with him. He's you know, like I said, he busted up my nose. I'm concerned with his stand-up now, so that makes his wrestling even better. I think he got Kampmann anywhere he wants right here. I mean, Kampmann, you're a tough guy. You're a tough dude out there. But, you know, like I say, man, I really don't feel bad for what's about to happen to you because, I mean, I have to do this crap every day with this guy. But it should be a good war. I'm going for Jake. I think second round, submission.
Okay. You're giving Kampmann some credit. I don't know if you're just being nice or what, but, I mean, I agree with you. So you know, Scrap Pack Radio is never going to pick against a Scrap Pack member or a teammate. But, you know, in this one, I think it's a pretty legit pick, obviously. You know, after seeing how Jake handled Hendo, I mean, tough first round. But then it was a 20-minute, four-round beating. And, you know, it made me feel good about myself watching him mount Hendo because I was like, oh, wow, Dan Henderson can't get out of his mount. Now I don't feel so bad about not being able to get out of Jake's mount. You know, I think the difference, the one thing that is going to change this fight up is, you know, I think Jake's going to get Kampmann down. I think he's going to pass his guard and get to mount and break his will. And the thing we didn't get to see in Strikeforce that we'll get to see in the UFC is elbows on the ground. And I think that's going to be, you know, for a guy like Jake who gets the fight to the ground and is a position guy and gets the side mount, gets the half guard, gets to mount, and starts landing some elbows, you know, Kampmann's going to have a decision to make. He's either going to give up his back, give up an arm, or wait for the ref to jump in. So, you know, I see this one actually, I don't think Kampmann makes it out of the first round. I think after, you know, after seeing Jake's last couple of performances, I don't see a way Kampmann wins this fight.
Man, you bring a great point. You're starting to persuade me to go back to the first round here. I think you're so right, Phil. But one thing you did tap on was the elbows, man. I don't think Jake Shields is a pioneer of the elbow in MMA. And it was hard. You can't throw elbows in Strikeforce. And it's hard to ground and pound when you cock back to throw a punch, you give a guy so much space to react and to move and to get up and to get to his knees. But with the elbows and the correct grappling in jiu-jitsu, you can hold the guy down and just pepper the crap out of him with elbows, cut him up, hurt him, and knock him. And Jake knows how to do that. So I'm glad you brought that up, Phil, because I think that's going to play a big difference. Now, that's persuading me to say that I think he's going to get a first-round finish now, you know?
Okay, I see how this is. You go first. You go first, and then I go, and then you get to change your mind. I'm not sure. Okay, whatever. We'll let that slide. We'll let that slide for now. But we're gonna have to set some ground rules coming up on our picks. And if you're able, we'll flip a coin, see who goes first or something. Because I don't know about the whole changing your mind after I break it down.
I thought that was the perk of being the champ. You know what I mean? Just.
It's kind of like home field advantage. I mean, we're in your gym. You're the champ. Okay. Well, you're right. Perks of being the champ. All right. So we're both picking Jake on that one. So, by the way, just a quick note for you, Gil. On Twitter, Damon Martin of MMA Weekly just said he's going to steal your "he got big brothered" phrase. Apparently the "he got big brothered" is a good phrase. People are liking it. So good job.
You're a pioneer.
You're a pioneer, really.
Pioneers in journalism. Wow. We start making waves.
All right. So let's move on to the main event. Last fight on UFC 121. We got the fight for the heavyweight championship. Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez. This one is an interesting fight. So obviously Cain is coming into this thing undefeated at 8-0. Brock's got a 5-1 record, obviously. The only blemish on his record being to Frank Mir. His last fight. Coming off his submission win over Carwin, second round submission win. He's got wins over Carwin, Mir, Randy, Couture. Cain's got wins over Czech Congo, Rothwell, and most recently, Big Nog. So, this is an interesting fight, Gil. I mean, what do you think?
I'm excited, man. I'm super excited for this fight. This is a dream heavyweight matchup. I don't think we've had a heavyweight matchup like this ever in MMA, and I mean, Brock Lesnar, I've been a fan of this guy forever. When I saw him wrestle in college, I was like, this guy's a beast. He needs to do MMA. And I'm a pro wrestling fan, so I was okay with him doing that. But Cain Velasquez as well, I'd go train at AKA sometimes, and I saw this guy when he first walked in, and you could just feel it from this guy. This guy was going to be a champ. But I'm going to go ahead and say it, man. I think Cain Velasquez is going to TKO Brock Lesnar sometime in the third round. And I don't think it's going to be easy, but just – Cain looks so fast and improved, and his striking is just faster. His wrestling is great. I believe if he does get taken down, just like Randy Couture did, he's going to get right back up. A lot of people get stuck on bottom. Frank Mir did. Keith Haring did. A couple guys got stuck on bottom. But a wrestler like Cain Velasquez, he knows how to stand up and get up. And I think he's going to get up and keep coming with those punches. And who knows, maybe put Brock on his back. And I think a ref might have to come in and stop, because we all saw how tough Brock is. I mean, he can take a big beating and he can overcome adversity, and he proved a lot in that last fight, but he has some big holes in his game. But he's that good that he can have a big hole and stand up and still be dominant, so you can never count him out. But Cain Velasquez, his striking is going to make the difference, his speed, his footwork, and him being a relentless fighter. I think he's amazing, and I'm looking forward to seeing him become a heavyweight champ.
Interesting, okay. I'm conflicted on this one, man. This is a tough one to call. I think Cain is more talented. I mean, people make a lot of a big deal about Brock being, an NCAA champ, NCAA runner-up. I mean, granted, he was a stud at Minnesota. I mean, he lost, I think his junior year, he lost to Stephen Neal, who was just probably the best heavyweight wrestler I've ever seen. I mean, that guy was unbelievable for a heavyweight, freestyle world champ, everything. Now he plays for the Patriots, I think. So
can I stop right there real quick? I mean, can Stephen Neal come do some MMA? You know what I mean? We've been waiting for you for a long time. Big shout out to that guy. You're an amazing dude. I grew up watching you, man. If this guy could come do some MMA, just throwing it out there, bro. All right, carry on.
No, I'm glad you bring that up, because I actually have been saying this for a while. So I got to tell you, I was not a Brock fan at first, and partially because I didn't like his whole WWE thing. I thought it was kind of lame that he got such a quick title shot. And he fought Randy, and I was there at the fight. MMA Hot Stuff and I were there, and it was brutal, man, watching him beat Randy. And I thought the reality was size just made a huge difference in that fight, not technique. And, they always say technique beats size, But at the end of the day, dude, the guy had too much size. But to your point of Stephen Neal, I've always felt Stephen Neal was like the one-upper to Brock Lesnar. Like, he's like, oh, Brock, I beat you for the NCAA championship. Oh, Brock, look at me, I'm a world champ for the USA Wrestling International team. Oh, Brock, you tried football. Look at me. I play for the Patriots. I've got a couple Super Bowl rings. I'm making a ton of money. Like, you know, Brock couldn't beat him at the NCAAs. Brock couldn't make it with the Minnesota Vikings. So who knows? You know, I think that if Stephen Neal put his mind to it and wanted to, I think it'd be a hell of a fight. Who knows? I mean, obviously that's a long ways away. The guy would have to train. He's still playing for the Patriots. You know, who knows if that's even realistic? I mean, those linemen get beat up. You know, the guy's probably got the body of a 50-year-old at this point after all his years in the NFL. But who knows? Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I've always felt he was the one-upper to Brock Lesnar, and I'd like to see that. So anyway, back to the fight. I think Kane is obviously more talented. I think his hands are amazing. You know, I'm conflicted because I think he should win on talent, but I feel like he's too small. But that being said, I think the key to this fight is going to be if he can get up off the bottom. I think it's probably given. Brock will get him to the ground once or twice. You know, Brock's going to bully him over, maybe get him up against the cage, hold him up against the cage in the clinch, get him down to the ground. I think that's probably a given. And if Kane can get back up, I think he wins this fight. If he can show that he can get back up in a reasonable amount of time, not spend 5 minutes trapped under Brock getting pounded like Mir did, I think he wins this fight. It's a 5-round fight. I think Kane will have the edge in the cardio. I think Kane has the edge in the stand-up. I think as the fight goes on into the later rounds, you know, Brock's going to start getting tired, and Kane's stand-up is going to catch up with Brock, and he's going to knock Brock silly. I mean, I think the thing we saw in the Carwin fight was Brock still doesn't have that stand-up instinct. You know, when they were on their feet and he took a couple hard shots, he kind of put his hands up, turned his back a little bit, ran.
Wow.
It was a little rough to see. A little rough to see.
Toughest man on the planet.
Toughest man on the planet, but when that guy hit me in the face, I turned and ran. so, you know, I think what's going to happen is Kane's stand-up is going to catch up to Brock. I think he just has more ways to win this fight. It's just a matter of whether he can wear him down and deal with his size. And I think then the question just becomes, I'm picking Kane. I think Kane's going to win this fight around the fourth round. I think he's gonna connect on his feet, finish it on the ground. So I think he's gonna win fourth round TKO. And then I think the question is how long Kane is champ, because I think he's destined to be champ, and I think he's just got so much talent. Sky's the limit for this guy. So
I agree, man. He's a true mixed martial artist. I think he's gonna have an answer for everyone, you know, and whether it's a better stand-up guy, a better wrestler, a better jiu-jitsu guy. He's a true mixed martial artist that has the tools to beat anyone out there. And, you know, we're behind him. He's out here. He's from Cali, man. He's from Cali. So, you know, we got his back out here, and hopefully he brings that title back to Cali out here. And I'm glad you picked that guy. I'm glad you picked him.
Yeah, I mean, one hell of a fight. Either way that thing goes, I think it's going to be one hell of a fight. And heavyweight division out there is stacked, and there's some damn exciting fights to be had. So I'm looking forward to that
one. We can agree that the stand-up is going to make the difference in this fight, whether he can get up from the bottom or not, right? That's what we're thinking with Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if he can get up from the bottom, I think he has the edge in stand-up. But, you know, the kind of unknown with Brock is, he's an athletic guy. I think he probably is picking stuff up quickly. So, you know, the question also becomes how far he's come since his Carwin fight. You know, we didn't get to see a lot of his stand-up. I think Carwin kind of bullied him. I think the difference between Carwin and Kane will be, you know, Carwin's a little bit more of a big puncher. Kane's, I think, a little bit more of a finesse, throws a lot of good combos. But we saw him knock Nogueira out, so you know he's got some power behind it. But, yeah, I think it's going to come down to his ability to get up off the bottom.
Right. So, I agree with you, man. So pumped for that fight. So
yeah,
pumped.
The one I can't wait for this fight. It's coming up Saturday, man. It's hard to believe it's already here, you know. So it's going to be a great fight.
I will be there.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Phil Baldacci and Gilbert Melendez. You can follow us on Twitter at Scrap Pack Radio, all one word, scrap with a K. You can also email us any questions, scrappackradio@gmail.com. So we're gonna change gears a little bit here. We're going to welcome one of our friends from Heavy.com. So as you all know, if you're not listening through Heavy.com, you can. Heavy.com is helping bring Scrap Pack Radio through the masses, to the masses. And they're going to be joining us every once in a while to give us kind of the latest rundown on what some of the latest MMA news is. So on the phone, we've got Nate Lawson. Nate, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing, man?
What's up,
doing
Nate?
Well, thanks.
All right, let's
go.
Chilling, bro. Glad. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, all right, thanks for having me.
Let's give a quick shout-out to Jeremy Botter, who's laid up on the couch via his Twitter. He said on Twitter he's laid up on the couch. I guess the guy's got the flu. So we'll see him in Anaheim. And the guy better – yeah, I think Gilbert's making the I drank too much wine symbol. So maybe Botter's a little hungover. So, Nate, listen, let's talk about kind of what some of the latest news is in the MMA world. I mean, let's start with UFC 121. I think, you know, we had Jake Shields on, and I think we've all heard that Dana's saying that the winner of the Campman-Shields fight, assuming it's Shields, knowing it's Shields, will get the next crack at GSP. Is that still the what people are saying?
Yeah, that's what people are saying. It definitely seems to be geared more toward Shields winning this fight. Campman winning this fight, I don't think it happens, first of all, but if it somehow did... I still don't think he'd be in line for a title shot, but Shields definitely, and if he wins it, I don't see how he does not get a title shot, even over John Fitch.
So then what do they do with Fitch? I mean, that guy's, you know, he's a tough fighter. He wins his fights. He's been waiting in the wings. I mean, does he just kind of have to wait and see what pans out between Koscheck and GSP, or what do they do with that guy?
I mean... It's a rough time for John Fitch because he does what they ask him to do in terms of winning, but he just doesn't do it in the fashion that they're looking for. So what do you do with him? That's a tough question. Obviously, it seems that fighting Koscheck or Swick is out of the question. Do you throw him up against a guy like Dan Hardy, a Brit who struggles a bit with wrestling? You could do that. Maybe even Carlos Condit after his win at UFC 120. He certainly has taken the next step up, so... you know, with Fitch, he just needs to win. He needs to get an impressive victory, you know, and until he does that, I don't think Dana White's going to be eager to give him another title shot.
So you're going to say that Fitch is just going to be a gatekeeper from now on, huh?
Not from now on. I mean, I didn't mean to make it sound that way. I just think that, you know, with Shields coming over, he's obviously a more intriguing contender than Fitch is. And the way Koscheck can talk up a fight, he's obviously, you know, more entertaining as well. So I think he has to take his turn until, you know, Koscheck gets a shot and then Shields gets a shot before Fitch can expect a title shot of his own.
So I think
so
I've
one
also...
more fight, I'd say.
Okay. So, Nate, I think I've also heard, actually, I've actually heard the AKA guys say this, I think, in interviews, was I think, like, Koscheck and Fitch have a deal, right? If Koscheck beats GSP and defends the title, Fitch moves up a weight?
Yeah, Fitch said he would absolutely move up. He does not want to fight Koscheck. That seems to be completely out of the question. Those guys just do not want to fight each other. So if Koscheck wins the title and defends it one time, as long as he's got the belt, Fitch is gonna. I think he's telling the truth. I think he will make the jump to 185.
That'd be kind of interesting. Interesting addition to that weight class.
I think he'd do good at any weight class. Fitch is one of those guys to me is almost a pound for a pound guy. And I mean, I think it's BS, dude. Like, I should get title shots after he's been in line for a title shot for a long time. And entertaining or not, I mean, I think he deserved it over Dan Hardy. I don't know how Dan Hardy got a title shot over him or you know any of these other guys. You know, I think. That stuff shouldn't really matter. If Fitch is the number one contender, he's the number one contender.
So, Nate, let's talk a little bit more about UFC 121 here and the main event between Lesnar and Velasquez. What do you think happens if Cain wins that fight? I mean, you got Junior Dos Santos waiting, right, who they're saying is in title contention, probably gets the next shot, but do they give Brock an immediate rematch?
You know, I'm not a fan of immediate rematches at all. I was not happy to see that Chael Sonnen got an immediate rematch just because I feel that it's kind of like you had your turn, now it's time for the back of the line, even though in Chael's instance he did a very good job in the fight. So, you know, I don't think they give Brock an immediate rematch. I think Junior Dos Santos is an exciting, you know, fighter, and I think that he gets the next title shot. He's been knocking people silly, and I think Brock has to go back and win one more and then he'll get another rematch or fight Dos Santos, however that turns out.
Interesting. So are they both coming into this thing healthy? Is there any anything to say otherwise?
I've heard from Lesnar in the media calls. He's always talked about how great his camp has gone. And Velasquez seems to be equally happy with his camp. I haven't heard anything about any injuries, any problems with their training camps. So I think both guys are going into this fight pretty much as good as they could have hoped.
And so, speaking of that, what about the size difference? I mean, you know, Brock obviously, when he was ill, lost a lot of weight. And I think, you know, Gil and I were just saying we think size will play a little bit of a factor in this fight. You know, has Brock said how big he's coming into this fight? Is he still in a position where the guy's cutting weight to make the fight, to make weight for heavy?
He's not. He said that he is walking around at like 265 now. He says he didn't. The cut just wasn't healthy for him, so he's not going to be as big as he came in against like the tour, or some other guys like when he fought Mir. So I think we're going to expect him to come in at 265, but I don't think he's going to have to really shed too much weight to get there. So he'll have the size advantage, but it might not be as significant as in some of his past fights.
Okay, so you may have heard a collective laugh there when you said that Brock said the cut wasn't healthy. Like, I don't feel bad for that guy having to drop some freaking weight to make heavyweight, right? Like, I remember in college wrestling, heavyweights would lose like 10 pounds just in a practice,
exactly.
And the lighter weight guys are, you know, sitting in the sauna with their freaking sauna suits on, struggling to drop 12. I don't feel bad for Brock. I'm sorry.
No pity on those heavyweights. Sucking on popsicles on the way to the tournament. You know what I mean? Come on.
Seriously, oh, poor Brock, that cut of 10 pounds, it's like 1% of your body weight, so unhealthy. But, all right, let's move on. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the WEC. There's been some news there lately that they're talking about, you know, what do they do with Jose Aldo? I mean, what's the latest there?
I mean, that's a good question. What do you do with the, you know, most dominant champion in the WEC or UFC, in my opinion? This guy's just running through people, so... At this point, he seems to be, you know, at the top of his career right now. If he can get any better than this, that'd be incredible. So I think now's the time to really, you know, test him and put on some big fights. Dana White said that he would, you know, like to see him in the UFC maybe sometime soon. And, of course, although jumping up to the lightweight division in the WEC is not out of the question either, I would expect one of those two scenarios to play out. Sometime soon. I mean, I guess Josh Grisby is really only other featherweight right now that you can really give much of a case for to fight Aldo. So
does he make much of a case though? I mean,
yeah.
I've seen Grisby.
No one makes a case against Aldo. I don't
think
there's a lightweight in the WEC that
does. I think the 145-pound division is, you know, just kind of falling apart a little bit right now. I mean, Jose Aldo is dominant, but I see Manny Gambirian step in there. It just looked like he lost before he walked in there. Like, no one wants to fight Aldo. I'm really not one for someone jumping up a weight class and doing that right out the gate, but this guy has been dominant, and I really would like to see him, you know, fight some 155ers. I could see him being the WEC lightweight champ. I think definitely, man. So I props to that guy right there.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think that, I mean, he basically – Uriah Faber basically left the division because he didn't want to have to deal with Jose Aldo against. I mean, that's how it looked after that fight, and everyone's walking into the cage
that hurts.
With their head held down. Oh, I have all the respect for Uriah Faber, but I mean, at this point, who wants to fight Jose Aldo? I mean, it's just not a. I just don't see how you benefit at all. He at this point, I mean, I'm not sure if anyone seems as unbeatable as he does.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, man, he presents a dilemma, so interesting. I'd like to see him on move to the UFC. So, all right, Nate, man, we appreciate you joining us and giving us a quick rundown. We're gonna kind of wrap things up here. So thanks for joining us. Make sure you guys check out heavy.com for all the latest news. Thanks a lot, Nate.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, have a good one.
Later, Nate.
Okay, so just so thanks to Nate, and again, thanks to the guys over at Heavy.com. Make sure you're going out there and checking it out. You're listening to Scrap Pack Radio with Gil Melendez and Phil Baldacci, and you will be able to download this via podcast from Heavy.com. So if you missed any of the show, go out there and check it out. I gotta say, I gotta jump in here because I'm reading Twitter as we go. Like Twitter, the new, not the new big thing, but so apparently Bjorn Rebney is on MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani, and said he would do Alvarez Melendez in San Jose on Showtime, whatever, he just wants to do it.
I think that's great. I think we made some noise. I think we can make this. We're making this happen. Let's do it. Let's make it happen, baby. And I mean, if this is what it takes, this is what it takes, baby. Thank you very much. I accept the challenge. Let's do it.
I agree. All right. Thanks to Bjorn Rebney. I mean, stepping up, right? Like, let's, you know, I think that's cool that they're willing to come to Strikeforce, do it on your home turf. So let's just go ahead and give the open invitation to Bjorn and Eddie. You know, we'll have a show anytime you guys have the free time. We understand Eddie's got his fight coming up, and the guy's probably busy. It's in his hometown. He's got media responsibilities and everything, so he couldn't make this show. But we'll go ahead, put together a Scrap Pack Radio show, and we'll talk it out. I mean, I think that the fans would want to hear you two talk about a potential scrap, right?
Let's do it.
All right. So with that, Ariel, Gil called you an instigator in a joking manner, so it's okay. All right.
I'm not sure if I did. No, I'm just kidding, dude. No, Ariel's a good guy. He's all right, man. He's not too bad. You know, it's just sometimes you got to talk man to man and get things clear right there. And I don't need a mediator.
All right. So, listen, we're gonna kind of wrap things up here. But first, what we're gonna do is we're gonna run through the betting odds for UFC 121. So, we here at El Nino Training Center and all the members of Scrap Pack like to lay a little money down every once in a while on some of these fights. So we thought we'd let the fans know, you know, what the latest odds are and what our thoughts are on laying some money down on these fights. So, Gil, you wanna kind of run through? Or you want me to do that?
Yeah, definitely. We got Brendan Schwab. +155 against Gabriel Gonzaga, who's -190 right here. I think I'd save my money and not really put a bet on this fight right here. What do you think, Philly?
Yeah, I'm not really seeing. I mean, I think Gonzaga's going to win it. I don't like the -190 though, so I would pass on that one, to be honest with you.
Me too.
All
me
right.
Too. And next we got Tito Ortiz +120, Matt Hamill -150. You know what, man? I'm a Tito Ortiz fan, so I'm going to lay a little bit of money on Tito, even though I'm choosing Matt Hamill just because. I think the odds are all right. You know, I had him at +130. So, you know, just to lay a little bit down, just so I can cheer behind him a little bit, I'm going to put a little bit of money on Tito just for the fun.
All right. I actually agree with you here. I think Hamill wins that fight. But at +120, I mean, I think the big brothered factor is enough to lay some money down. You just never know. I mean, Tito might come out here and be like, no way you're getting one up on me, dude. I'm going to big brother you. And so, you know, make a nice little chunk of change. I mean, I'm not going to put the house on it, but I'll put a little bit of money down on Tito at those odds.
And then next we got Diego Sanchez +100 and Paulo Thiago -130. Paulo Thiago being the favorite here, Diego Sanchez being even. But, you know, I think Diego's a good bet, man. I put not my whole house on it, but I put a little bit of money on him as well, man. I think he's going to pull it off, and he might let you double up your money.
Yeah, you know, I picked Thiago, so I'm staying away from that one. I don't see any action on that I like, to be honest with you.
All right, well, then let's move on. We got Martin Kattman +175, Jake Shields -220. I mean, Jake Shields has made my boys a lot of money. He made people a lot of money. I mean, people always want to bet against him or people doubt him, but he's a man. I mean, he hasn't lost in 6-7 years. If you have big money to spend and you want to make a good percentage, dude, I'd put some big money on Jake and make half of it back.
Yeah, I mean, -220, like, I have every confidence Jake wins this fight. So when I get home, I'll be going through MMA Hot Stuff's wallet and grabbing every loose dollar she's got, and we'll be collecting our money and putting it down on Shields. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to call anything a lock. And we should tell the listeners, hey, bet at your own peril. Like, this is just our opinion here. But, I feel really comfortable laying some cash down on Jake on this fight. I just don't see Kamo winning it. So I'm putting money down on Jake.
And the final thing we got is Cain Velasquez -105 and Brock Lesnar -125. I mean, hey, man, this one I don't even need a bet to get excited for. I think I'll save my money and just let these two go at it. I mean, they're both the favorites in this fight right here. So, you know, I think I think you can save your money right here and just sit back and enjoy this one. No money necessary to make this one exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, those are pretty even odds, and it's kind of a toss-up. I mean, I think Kane wins this fight. I think he's got more ways to win it. but I'm not laying 105 to win 100 on that. Just, you know, Brock, hey, man, I thought Carwin was going to win that fight, and, you know, I have a tough time betting against Brock, but I wouldn't bet against Kane either. So I'm passing on that one too. Not too exciting, but I'm passing. So, all right, with that, folks, the Scrap Pack team is showing up to the gym, and we're going to get our training on here pretty soon. Gil, what are we doing today? I mean, usually on Mondays we do some sprawl and brawl. What are we going to be doing?
Definitely, man. Monday mornings we like to start off our week with some hard sparring, man. We're all going to gear up for some MMA sparring, some sprawl and brawl, and we're all going to meet on the mat. But before we get out of here, man, I just want to give a couple shout-outs to people that really helped me out there. Shout-out to FDM, to Show Your Role, to Vita, to Throne, Metal Militia, Scrap Pack, Fairtex. I mean, I want to say what's up to my boy Eric Salazar. Thank all the listeners out there for joining in. If you ever want to come train with the Scrap Pack here at the Indian Training Center, call us at 415-859-9885. And also come check out GilbertMelendez.com or, you know, for any more info out there. Thank you guys all for listening, man. You know, like I said, we put this together to just reach out to our listeners, our fans, or anyone who's curious just to see what we're about. You know what I mean? We're trying to make things happen for ourselves here and make some noise out here. So much respect to everybody in the MMA world. We love you guys all. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And all those listeners that called in, sorry we didn't get to everybody today, but we'll be having more shows. Pay attention to Scrap Pack Radio on Twitter, at Scrap Pack Radio. Email us at scrappackradio@gmail.com with any questions. But we'll be coming out pretty soon with dates and times for the next show, topics and guests. And we'll be coming to you hopefully more often than not. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you soon. Let's go train, Gil.
Let's do it, baby.